B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Did somebody say parties? A holiday weekend edition of the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters in the 6 o'clock hour. Bradford White is here for the pro. And it is a holiday weekend. A little jump in the step today. I was hearing about trips out on boats this weekend with Coach. Hearing about golf and cookouts and all kinds of fun stuff. And we hope that you are ready to enjoy this because we've waited a long time, guys. We have waited a long time for a holiday weekend out of a pandemic. And it's going to be special, I think, for a lot of people this weekend to get out and enjoy themselves, be with family and friends. Jamie's going to swing it like probably like 95 times today. What are you thinking? Like,
I think I'm just doing nine. Just doing nine.
Yeah. Okay, 75 times.
Yeah, let's hope not.
Put it down to that. Hey, as we prepare for game 3 of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals this weekend, I'd like to do a little performance review. Coach says he's doing ours in like August, right before football season, so we get a good chance to get toned up for the football season. What was the best thing about Doc Rivers' rookie year? If you got to sit Doc Rivers down, what was the best thing about Doc Rivers' rookie year? One definable accomplishment, one great success that you feel he had. What was it? And conversely, you know, like every other member of management, you've got to tell people how they can improve on something. So if there was one thing you think he could do just even a little better, what would it be? It's going to be an odd edition of the John Kincaid Show today. Not very deep except for Joe Girardi, who is in the crosshairs coming up in just a few moments. So that's where we begin with Bob and Jamie and Pat and the coach, Eric Camille. And we've got Mike directing on Twitch and YouTube. And we have our friend Connor Thomas, who is answering your phone calls at 610-632-0975. Let's begin there as the Sixers get ready tomorrow night for game 3. Of their series. Bob, if you're sitting down with Doc Rivers and the Sixers have asked you to do his performance review, and you know you want to lead with a positive, you want to talk about some success that you felt, Doc, you did a great job on this. What would it be?
I'd start first and foremost with Joel Embiid. I think Doc Rivers is directly the reason for Embiid's point total going up 5.5 points from last year. Think about that. 5.5 points.
That's significant.
That's significant. Embiid shot 48% from the floor last year, almost 52% this year. That's great. Just his overall play, the way he saw the floor. And Doc told us when we had him on this station before the season started, I just came to him and said, you need to see the defense. And he taught him something very significant, and that was to catch the ball and see where things are coming from. And I think the success of this team being a number one seed throughout most of the season directly goes to Joel Embiid, and it's because of the coaching of Doc Rivers and what he taught him how to do.
So you're sitting across the table from him, Jamie, and Bob has just led with that. You're also on that panel. So you've heard him compliment him on Joel Embiid. What else are you building him up about?
Oh, I would say screw you, Bob, for stealing mine, but no, that's very obvious.
That would look bad because in a management discussion, that wouldn't go over well.
I would say, Doc, you get an A-plus for the year. I saw several players under you improve. I saw you have the best home court in the NBA, and I saw you get the one seed. The only questions that remain are how you handle the playoffs. In my opinion, great year. Kudos to you.
Giving up. Pat, are you throwing more bouquets like that? They've just taken two.
Yeah, the obvious one is Joel Embiid. I'll take getting Tobias Harris back to form.
That's a great
I think
one.
Was really important. The one negative I have
No, wait for the negatives. We're not doing negatives yet.
Not negative, but
No, don't do negatives yet.
Damn it, Egan.
We're doing negatives yet in a minute. Is that one of my last positive?
The one negative I have.
No, don't do that. My positive you didn't take. My positive to him, I would have said, I love the fact that you have developed your entire roster.
Yeah.
That you have given your entire roster a chance to show what they can do on the court. You are obviously a teacher. You are obviously a developer of talent, and you are willing to throw guys out there and get the minutes, and many times minutes in games when the game is still in jeopardy and everything like that. And I appreciate that. as your boss.
Yeah, and the mental aspect of it also.
Yes.
I mean, think about this. They were a horrible road team.
Horrible.
The last couple of years. I mean, just they would go on the road and we would all be, oh God, here it comes again. If they got a big lead, we knew that it wasn't going to hold. It was just everything about the whole road situation that I was convinced, and Jamie, we talked about it many times, that it was a mental thing. There was nothing sure. physical about going on the road. Everybody knows how to travel. They went into the bubble last year, I understand it. But before that and the year before, they were just horrible on the road. Doc Rivers got them to a 20-16 record on the road.
That's
this
a really
year.
Good job.
That's
now,
great.
Now, Jamie, in any performance review, they're going to tell sure. you something you can improve on.
Sure.
So he's staring at you first. He knows it's coming. He knows somebody's going to say, do better at this next year. So what is it? That's interesting that you do this.
I struggle to come up with one.
Bob?
I would say the obvious. Ben Simmons' offensive game. I'm not talking about the jump shot or the three-point shot. Ben Simmons needs to learn to explode to the basket a little bit more, a little bit better. 1 foot, opposite hand, boom. Stop with the stopping with the pitter-patter of both feet and turning your back. Just work on that becoming a normal thing. Of the pass-outs, I'm fine with. But when he is attacking, not going away from the basket hook shots, attack the basket.
So this is like when he worked with Embiid on the double team.
Sure, it's an individual.
Being able to handle that pass. Yep. So just something when individual.
Like yeah, that. I mean, that's a good one. That's
it's
that's
so
all
interesting
I got.
Because it's it. I think that. Now, Egan had a negative. He was waiting. He was dicing.
Chomping.
He was chomping at the bit to come
yeah,
with
but then you
negative.
Went to Cooney first.
Yes.
And he took it.
Did he?
Because yeah, he's a jerk.
Did he?
Wow.
Yeah, it was not getting Ben Simmons to shoot was the one thing I could think of.
It's pretty good when you sit down for a performance review and it would go like that.
I was trying to think of negatives.
But honestly.
And a lot of that falls on Ben, you know what I mean? Doc can speak till he's long in the tooth, but if Ben doesn't absorb it and act on it, then
so it's impressed. It's an impressive first year for Doc. It's a really impressive first year.
It is.
Things have went well.
And I don't want to say I expected it, but that's why I was, and these guys will tell you, I was so excited when they hired him. I just think it was exactly at this point in time, especially in the careers of Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, this is exactly what they needed. And Egan pointed it out, Tobias Harris needed it too. He really did. He was this far from going the other way, you know, inches from going the other way and saying, oh man, he used to be good. He ratcheted it up and became the player that he was.
Hey, committed to being upfront with our customers, NJM. No jingles, no mascots, just great insurance. Get a quote today at NJM.com. A reminder, the Sixers and the Wizards, Game 3 of the series. Tom McGinnis will have it for you here on The Fanatic tomorrow. Devon Givens giving you all the insights that you need. Also, do not miss it. Take us with you this holiday weekend. Remember, your radio is in your phone. Download that 97.5 The Fanatic app and have it with you all weekend long. We greatly appreciate it. The Phillies end up splitting with the Marlins. Is that that's reason to clap? Just a split of a series is fine. I mean, they're one game under for the year with the Marlins. I'll 3-4. I'm not going
to. I'd love to live in a utopian society where they actually win series versus the Marlins, but I guess I can settle with.
They didn't let it plummet. They've stabilized. Maybe they can get things back on track for the Marlins. Look, I'm just trying to find some positive.
I know, I hear you. I guess I'll take it.
It's a holiday weekend.
That's cute.
I'm trying to find something to be excited about. I liked yesterday's performance. I thought it was a fine performance yesterday, except for that.
Welcome to the party.
Except for that horrendous YouTube television. God, it's terrible.
Did you watch it, honestly?
Yes,
God?
I did.
Because
I sat with it on the coffee table. And then I finally figured out how to do the transport it to my television.
Yeah, I have the YouTube app on mine.
I did not know how to do that yet, and so
it wasn't.
I figured it out. It was easy.
Yeah, it was easy.
Once I learned that I had to go to directions at Google and figure out how to do it.
I think Heavy Chevy could have done a better job.
I think so too.
I kind of liked it.
It doesn't look as good as our YouTube show.
It doesn't, but I still kind of liked it.
It looked like I was watching. You know when you'd see occasionally they'll say, "Oh, it's a special broadcast," and have like the Blue Claws or the Threshers.
Yeah,
they're showing some game. It doesn't look like Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I would be lying if I said I turned it on for a second.
Who was the play-by-play guy?
I have no idea who he was. I know Cliff Floyd was the color guy.
Oh, jeez.
My gosh.
I was banging my head against coffee table.
Is it the broadcast itself, or is it the fact that it's
distracting?
On YouTube?
It's the fact that it's on YouTube just makes it look... I'm like, you can spend a little money on the broadcast.
Scott Braun?
It was Scott Braun?
Possibly.
Oh, geez, that's terrible. Then I feel terrible. Sorry, Scott.
That was just the April 7th one. I don't know.
It was a bad broadcast.
I like the idea of putting the games on YouTube, though.
Why not put it where most fans can get access to it?
Because they're trying to get a younger demo that no longer watches television. They're trying to watch games on YouTube. So you put the odd game on YouTube here and there, and you might be able to catch a younger demographic.
Okay, then put the game broadcast, the real broadcast, on YouTube. Create a partnership, Major League Baseball, where you take the Phillies television broacast and put it on YouTube.
McCarthy is cursing you right now, saying, no, I like the 2 days off.
Tom enjoyed being at the beach.
I saw him with a beer
at the beach. So Tom wanted a day.
Yeah, look, let the man live.
Tom McCarthy wanted to drink beer at the beach.
Who doesn't?
That's why I had to watch a game on YouTube. Seriously, just was a little much for it. But then we get to Joe Girardi after the game.
Really?
Post game. Yeah. Joe, to say that he's tired of all of the media, well, I'm sure I'm on the list, he's not happy because of the fact that he got caught. And we talked about this story the other day. He lied about the Bryce Harper injury. He lied about it. He said it was not an injury situation. I have a little bit of insight on this that I got last night, but I want you to hear what Joe Girardi now says he's going to do when he deals with the media.
Just so you guys know, we're going to approach this different. I've talked to people in our organization, just a manager's decision. And I'm not going to share anything, who's available, who's not available, because I think it's somewhat unfair to us. Just like if you were to do something, you're not going to necessarily share it with a rival reporter. So that's the way we're going to handle it. Just manager's decision.
I'm absolutely speechless. Joe Girardi is coming unglued. This is a guy who managed the Yankees for how many years? And he's coming unglued already in Philadelphia? What the hell's going on? I don't understand it. This guy has pedigree. This guy is a World Series. This guy has managed the New York Yankees. And he's coming unglued. And he's had a horrible year managing this team. He doesn't like being called on it, I guess. That's part of where this is coming from. He doesn't like being critiqued. But more importantly, he flat out comes out and he misrepresents the truth. And then he's upset about it.
Yeah. It was his doing.
Yes.
And now he's changing what he did. I really don't think any of his narrative was misconstrued by a local reporter. I don't think it was the flames were fueled by anyone. It was an unknown situation. He was asked about it. He lied about it.
Yes.
And then the team did something that totally went against what he said. And then he was asked about it again, like, why weren't you forthcoming with it? And then he says, that's it. I can't talk to you guys anymore. I've seen this a couple of times in my career, and it's usually with a guy that's, you know, 9th, 10th year, something like that, and things are getting really frayed, and it's the beginning of the end. This is very odd.
It's teetering on being very, very bizarre and strange. A suggestion was made to me last night by another media member who will probably write about it today that it might have involved gambling.
Huh?
And I said, what? That Major League Baseball, now that there's legalized sports, that there could have been a smackdown on Joe Girardi talking, that maybe somebody smacked his hand and said, Joe, there's legalized gambling going on games now. You can't misrepresent injuries because that's a problem. That's just a theory. That's not in any way factual. It's not anything being reported. It does make sense, though.
Yeah, it does make sense.
It makes sense that maybe that's why, but now he's pissed about it. He got slapped on the wrist, and now he said, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm just not going to talk to you.
Yeah, this is really weird. He's not even a full... I don't even believe he's a full 162.
He isn't.
It's not even a full season yet. And to be acting like this...
Oh, my God.
What my gut tells me is he has no answers to any of their problems. And he's compounding a lot of those errors and doesn't know what to do. Because this isn't the Bronx anymore. I know he was successful in Florida, but that was a long time ago now. It seems to me like a guy that's kind of coming apart at the seams.
He's coming unglued, Pat, right in front of our eyes.
It's becoming obvious to me why this guy was out of baseball for a few years there. We chalked it up to, oh, he's waiting for the right opportunity because he had interviews. I'm starting to believe, no, he didn't have job offers. I'm starting to believe he had one job offer and it was from the Phillies.
No, you're right. You are right as far as I've seen Baseball Tonight say it, that when he was hired by the Phillies, that he had not legitimately turned down any other job offer. He had turned down an opportunity to interview with someone for an opening. And I believe it was when Schilt was hired by the Cardinals. I think it was that one. I'm just taking a guess that if my memory serves me correct. But that he had turned down interviewing for one job. He had interviewed for others and been passed over.
And I think we're finding out why he was passed over.
Because
he looks like a guy that in a short amount of time, because when they managed 3 years ago, the game's passed him by.
I don't know what it is, Bob, that would make someone lose their fastball. And I'm hoping that Joe is okay, because he seems like he's a guy that's... He honestly seems like he's a guy that's cracking a bit, because this doesn't make any sense.
He's been questioned this year. We've done it on this show. Sure, yeah. Reporters have done it. Guys that follow the team every day. He's been questioned on some of the things he's done. Have you guys thought it's been overly harsh? Has it been...
No.
Has he been condemned? He's been questioned, and rightfully so. I've been around guys that I thought were wrongfully questioned. I've been around coaches that even as a member of the media, being, oh, my God, back off. You know, I've seen that. I don't see it with this. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is. And here's my biggest thing, and I would love for you guys to, and I'm being honest here, I don't know what he means. What does he mean, like, we don't have an advantage? You wouldn't share a story with another reporter? No, I wouldn't, because But what advantage? All through baseball, I've heard people say, oh, Mike Trout's got a bum wrist. He's going to be out for a week. You can't say
there's no advantage. There's no competitive advantage in baseball.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
That's what I'm saying, is that this is a guy who's grown up in the game.
Yeah.
Highly respected.
Sure.
And he's saying things that you and I would not say. Like, we would not use those terminology because it doesn't make any sense.
It's nonsensical. I don't know what he's talking about. So any move he makes now can't be questioned because it's just a manager's decision and he's not going to get into the details. Does it have to do with injuries? Does it have to do with roster moves? Is everything now just a manager's decision and you can't ask about it?
Could he be mad at the organization? Could yesterday have been, I'm pissed at this organization that I've been put in this position, and so I'm going to take it out on somebody else?
Pat. What position? The managerial position?
No, the fact that he doesn't have any answers, like as far as guys to go to. He doesn't have any talent to go to, that he's just frustrated with them.
Tough nuggies,
I
man.
Agree with
like,
you.
You suck it up. This is baseball.
You know
this
what?
This is a 162 season. I'm sorry we're not the Yankees and we just don't just have an open pocketbook. That you just buy players, suck it the you-know-what up.
I believe Jimmy Duggan, the great baseball manager, once said there's no crying in baseball. So get it together, Joe.
Okay, I would like to say, and Bob, I consider you to be the arbiter of this. Because I really do think you are the most, of all of us, you are the most sort of...
Like, least the idiotic water, is how I would phrase it.
Wow, all right. I mean, yeah, I was just going to say.
I wish I could have found a better term.
Even keeled,
yeah. Whatever. We did not.
Well, whatever.
We had not, in no way on this show, were we taking personal shots at Joe Girardi. Is calling him, but I will call myself on this. Hold myself accountable. Is saying what he did, that calling him out and saying what Joe Girardi did was lie to us. Is that a personal shot? Because I was suggested to me yesterday, well, maybe he didn't like being called a liar.
I thought of that
because that
too.
Thing, and I said he lied. I mean, it's not. What more can you say? And by the way, Joe Girardi has gotten a hell of a lot of compliments on this show since it started. Also, that situation, that individual situation, he lied.
Yeah, and there's a difference between a liar and he lied.
He lied.
It was
right.
A baseball situation. I don't paint Joe. I don't know Joe Girardi personally.
We don't know him.
I don't paint him. But I've seen coaches in my career. I've seen one coach, when things are falling apart, stop talking to his players. I've seen another.
Whoa. What do you mean stop talking to his players?
Literally. Like, stop talking to certain players. When things were crumbling. Trust me. I've seen another coach that, in my opinion, stopped coaching midway through a season because it was just, forget about it. It's done. And literally stopped coaching. So you see these cracks, and both of them led to departures.
To departure.
And this is a long ago, but you see cracks. And when you see those cracks, things are crumbling, obviously. This is a crack. And it's a weird one, because I don't really even understand it. Now, could Joe Girardi move forward, everything be okay? Sure, that could, but this is an odd bump in the road. And I don't quite frankly even understand it.
Okay, do you want to hear the story about Bob? Are you allowed to share the story sometime a little bit later on in the show of the guy who just stopped coaching? Or is it something that you can't really talk about?
Okay,
you know what? You know,
here,
okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay. I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah.
I mean, it does seem like a Joe Girardi has not been. I just want to hold my. I believe this is a show of accountability.
Sure.
I don't believe, but there's a difference between saying someone is a liar and calling out a specific incident and saying he lied.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because every one of us has lied in life.
I don't consider myself a liar, but I have lied.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I can't believe that Joe Girardi was able to take a win down in Florida and spin it in a way that
negative.
we're negative. And it's like he did it upon himself.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
He's pissed, though. And I believe he's pissed at the media.
Yeah.
And I believe he's pissed at Mike Sielski. I believe he's pissed at I don't know if he's heard this radio show. I hope he has. Hope he has the 97.5 The Fanatic app downloaded.
He's streaming on Twitch right now.
And we are
he's
not.
He's Mopar.
Okay, Joe Girardi is Mopar.
Joe Girardi Mopar. Yeah, I got to figure out though. What's the code word though?
I got to figure out how that works. I don't know. I read the Da Vinci Code a while ago.
So, in special recognition of Joe Girardi pulling this jackassery stunt, today we will play Joe Girardi Jeopardy. The boys know nothing of the questions coming up today around 10 after 7 or so. So do not miss it. Joe Girardi Jeopardy. Since he refuses to answer questions, I'm going to have the guys answer Joe Girardi Jeopardy. They must answer in the form of a question. So this will get Joe really, hopefully Joe's tuned in. He's got a day off today. He's chilling out down in Tampa. You know, you may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, choose our friends at Bradford White. And I'm sure if Joe wasn't pissed at this show after Joe Girardi Jeopardy, he will be. That's what I promise you. He's going to be at that point. So we'll have a lot of fun today. Hopefully you'll have a great day as we head into the holiday weekend. Wait till you hear some of the things that go up for auction beginning next week here on the John Kincaid Show in honor of the American Association for Cancer Research. Some great experiences I'm going to share with you. But the season was pretty special. Bob Cooney, though, is trying to identify when this season got special for the Sixers. That's coming up next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic.
I went out golfing yesterday, and I'll be real with you. I sucked, and I need a way to improve my game. And this weekend, it's going to be rainy. The weather isn't going to be great. So I tell you, there's a great place right in downtown Center City you can go to help improve your game.
Oh, boy.
And check out Five Iron Golf in Center City. The league start up this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. You can join as a foursome or with friends or just go as a free agent on your own. The league start May 31st and June 1st. So sign up today at 5irongolf.com. They have great golf simulator bays, an awesome food menu, great beers and cocktails. It's a terrific experience. Go talk to Corey there. He's the pro. He can help you not suck at golf. And it's great.
That's quite the endorsement, yeah. Corey. At least you didn't say take advantage of Corey like you did last week.
He'll help you out and get right. And look, it's going to be rainy all weekend, so where else can you practice golf? Not many places. You can store your clubs there, use the locker rooms, do it all, improve your game, and get started out with the sport. Look no further than 5-Iron on Chestnut Street in Center City. Visit 5-Iron at 2116 Chestnut Street in Center City and at 5irongolf.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm turning on the mic thing.
That helps.
It does. It really does. Doug Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers, visit paworkinjury.com. We appreciate Martin Law for their fine patronage of the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Yeah, turning on the mic is a real, it's a real, I guess,
deal. Speak into the mic,
bitch. It's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
As far as Kenny, it really is, it's a deal breaker. If you don't turn it on, I bet that these broadcasting schools, that's what they teach.
That's the first thing, right? That's the first semester. Turn it on the mic.
I remember my first day in radio.
You remember it?
Nerd.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, turning on that radio. Turn on the radio. Listening to a guy who can't even turn on his microphone this morning. Okay, I will read you Steven's email to me quickly.
Steven.
Very, very formal to be Steven. He said, John, you called the man a liar. If I say John Kincaid lied on the air yesterday, I'm calling you a liar. You are getting into semantics here. He says, love the show, but you're being semantics. You're being semantics. I don't know. He says, you called the man a liar. I mean, I'm not going to tell him he's wrong. I flat out said Joe Girardi lied.
Yeah.
And by the way, that is completely 100% factual. So yeah. I don't understand his point. I don't think, and also too, every one of us has lied in life, I believe. None of us are perfect. We've all lied, but it doesn't make you a liar. That doesn't make you a liar.
I agree with that.
In a specific situation, you lied. You lied to a teacher. You lied to a, you lied to your parents. You lied to your spouse. You lied, whatever.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily make you a liar, or does it?
My license.
Maybe he's right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm right. And he says, look, I love the show. He goes, but you're playing semantics here. You called the man a liar. I would tell you, Steven, I don't believe I did. I believe I called out the man for lying. And I think that's a difference.
The semantics, I understand what Steven's saying. Right. It's a good point. It's a very good point. He's the one bringing up the semantics. If anybody did, I did. I said that I think somebody can lie, but can not be labeled a liar.
He lied
about something. In the grand scheme of things, he lied about his ball player being hurt. Okay, that's it. Seriously. He lied about his ball player being hurt, and now he's not going to talk about it anymore.
By Steven's standards, we're all liars.
So we're all
then.
Liars. We all are. Yeah, and that's
so. I guess we're hypocritical. I don't know.
If he's honestly that thin-skinned, then he's not built for this city anyway. Like if Joe Girardi gets that upset over a sports talk radio host calling him a liar, then he's doomed from the get-go.
Okay, Bob has pointed out something since the beginning of the NBA playoffs, and it's playing out in front of our eyes that the Milwaukee Bucks may be the most dangerous team that we face. That you might want to see the Bucks out of their way more than the Nets. What the Bucks did last night to Miami was, I think, humiliating. like to me, that was a humiliating beatdown last night. They choked the life out of them and embarrassed them. And I was the one ringing the bell saying, Eric Spoelstra, be scared. After watching what he did last year.
I was,
boy,
too.
Milwaukee looks sleek.
They're just really, they're a good team. Brooklyn has great players. Milwaukee's a really good team. Yeah, they have a great player, too, obviously, in Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Jrue Holiday was phenomenal last night. Ugh. He was a plus 41 in like...
What?
Yeah, he was a plus 41 last night in something like 34 minutes. That's amazing. The way they do things, and I know you have a history with Mike Budenholzer, but he does run a really neat offense and a really good team concept. I like everything they do. They got 17 points out of Giannis last night in limited minutes. They didn't need them. They beat Miami at their own game. They held Miami to 36 points in the first half. That's Miami's game. You know, that's really not Milwaukee's game. Milwaukee usually will outscore you. They're just playing to me. I told you, I love a team game, whereas even when you have second units in whatever, you're still running good concepts and good schemes and all that. That's what they're doing right now, and they don't seem to have very many holes. I would say right now, they're the most complete team in the playoffs in my eyes.
Yeah, and they're so annoying because they have somebody like Bryn Forbes, you know, kind of emerge late and become this, you know, three-point threat for them, and they're just a deep team. Their second unit is probably better than the Sixers. It's just a complete
deep 10 that they can run with. And yeah, they're a scary opponent. They are. But I think the Sixers match up with them very well.
So do I.
So you still do. Nothing that you've seen causes you, because
their strengths play to the Sixers' defensive strengths.
Okay, that'd be fair.
Giannis, I think, can be neutralized as much as Giannis can be neutralized by a Ben Simmons or a Matisse or even a Joel. I think you have three options to throw at him that can all... Because, look, Giannis stinks at shooting. He's going to score around the rim. We have the best rim protector in you know, a rim protectorless league anymore, in Joel Embiid.
Absolutely, in this conference.
Yeah, yeah. Rudy Gobert's, you know, phenomenal at it, too. I just like the way the Sixers match up with them defensively, so it's going to be great.
Yeah, they terrify me. They're the one team that actually worries me for whatever reason.
Saying bring on the Nets.
Yeah, but Brooklyn.
You are the bring on the Nets.
Well, I'm cautiously bring on the Nets. I mean they're the Nets, so they're going to give you a tough series, and I think no matter what team you play, it's going 6 or 7. I think the Bucks have a better chance to beat the Sixers, though, than they do the Nets. I mean, the Bucks are just such a deep team. But keep in mind, though, this is the first round of the NBA playoffs. So when the Nets play their next game, they're likely going to smack the hell out of their opponent. We're going to be sitting there going, oh, the Nets are a really good team.
Oh, I'm there.
You're already...
I don't need them to smack the hell out of anybody next. I'm already there.
This just in, three really good teams in the East.
I've got to tell you, though, I would have bet anything that series would not have been 3-0 Milwaukee. I would have taken, like, any wager.
Yeah.
I would have said, there's no way they're taking the first three games of that series. And by the way, they've the last two games, they have totally embarrassed them.
Oh, yeah, they snatched their souls. It's over. I mean, it was over after game two.
They looked gutless last night.
Jimmy Butler didn't look like the hardest worker to me last night.
He should have worked harder this offseason.
I know that was shocking, but he just... Jimmy Butler has kind of a nonchalance about him, the way he plays. And when you're getting beat by 30, I think that can aggravate some people, and like meaning teammates. So body language was not good for Miami last night. And Spoelstra was trying everything.
He was. And he never stopped coaching, too.
It didn't work. It's over.
Jamie, you the... So you're sort of thinking we're taunting the basketball gods a bit.
Kinda.
Like we're talking about Brooklyn so much, and then Milwaukee is so efficient. Plus two, think about it this way. They were the number one seed last couple years, and they manipulated their roster this offseason, and they are distinctly better, but their record's worse.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in you got to get the notches in the belt before you get the belt buckle. And
that's not good news for us, then. This team has no belt buckle notches. They haven't won a second-round series.
I think Toronto was a notch for them. Like, that heartbreak and getting over a series and Joel Embiid crying, leaving the floor. I think you need those things to build the calluses before you become a championship team. But the problem is Milwaukee has those in spades. You know, they had three straight years of disappointment. So they got the notches there.
Well, conference title losses, right?
Yeah.
Both of those losses were conference title losses.
Yeah, which is pretty big notches to put in the belt. Yeah, I mean it's tough. But I feel like all the talk in Philadelphia, and I'm partially to blame too because I've done it. Oh well, in the Eastern Conference Finals, we're completely overlooking a second round series, which is I don't believe too much in offending the basketball gods or the football gods, but I do feel like the chatter in town is in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, right now, Milwaukee is one win away from that second round. And Brooklyn may, you know, get a game three victory and be one. And then you've got the Sixers getting ready for game three and game four. You don't want them to lose one. You want to keep matching them. You don't want to be playing while those guys are sitting resting, because then that was supposed to be the Sixers' big advantage in playing Washington. So little dangers. And the thing is, you ride these. Remember the Rainbow game? Remember the Miami Rainbow game just 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And everybody in town was losing their minds. It was 2 weeks ago today we came in. and Miami was just, oh, my gosh.
Don't want to see them.
Don't play Miami. They're crazy.
That game says so much about matchups to me. That wasn't just an anomaly that the Sixers got pounded by Miami that night. Look, do I think Doc Rivers, after about 8-9 minutes, said, okay, this isn't happening tonight? Yes, I do. Do I also think Doc Rivers and the team went into the game saying, all right, let's win tonight and clinch this thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think Miami just matches up really well against the Sixers, and I think Eric Spoelstra matches up well against Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. But that's what matchups bring, and that's why I think I might have more confidence if the Sixers were playing down the line Milwaukee as opposed to New Jersey.
The American Association for Cancer Research is going to benefit by the first time debut of the John Kincaid Show Mentorship and Experience Auction. It's going to be an event we're going to try to do for the American Association for Cancer Research on an annual basis. How would you like to have your college student or person who wants to break into broadcasting be a part of our show, working behind the scenes on our show for a week? Maybe your baseball team, little league team, high school team would benefit from having Ricky Pitalico come out to run a practice or guest coach for the game. How about Chef Anthony Gargano coming to your home, cooking up an Italian feast, and then dining with you and your crew? How about a chauffeured brewery tour mandate with Cooney and Lynch and Egan? How about that one?
Hey, now.
And Egan, you and I are the only one to have to be chauffeured.
Well, because it's a drinking event.
Or not chauffeured.
Because it's a drinking event, so that way nobody has to be worrying about that.
No, I didn't mean
the guy is drunk, but there he goes.
Sorry, I had it in my mind that we were, what's the word I'm looking for?
Drunks?
When you have somebody that has to watch you.
Chaperone.
You think
we'd have Egan be your chaperone?
Now you think he could be my chaperone.
Well, we are going to set up some VIP tours of these breweries.
Oh, okay.
It's
going to
be great. So we might need chaperones because some of
and
these
chauffeurs.
Are...
Yeah.
This is going to be great. How about Mikey Miss taking you and three of your friends out to play nine holes of golf and have lunch?
That's a great one.
These are some great ones. A Sixers box, thanks to the Sixers. How about a box night in the box with the John Kincaid Show crew next year for a Sixers regular season box with you and a bunch of your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Flyers game. Flyers, same thing. John Kincaid Show crew, we are out with you and your friends at a Flyers game. These are the kind of great experiences, and there's so many more that you're going to start to hear about next week in our mentorship and experience auction. It's going to be awesome. Check it on out. It'll be coming your way next week. And remind you that the American Association for Cancer Research saves lives. And it's going to be a memorable event. It begins next Tuesday and it runs through Thursday the 10th. So be prepared to find out about it.
Wait, so real quick, before we get to Cooney's Corner, you mean to tell me that you can actually bid on the opportunity to hear this live?
No call! Yes, you can. Absolutely. Blue paint.
Love it. Love it.
In the blue paint. Blue paint. All right. Now, draft lines with Devon and Jamie tonight.
Yeah, looking forward to it. A lot of hoops to break down. They call Devon Mr. First Bucket. He likes betting the first bucket of the game. So
Bob hit it the other night.
Yeah, I bet
Ben Simmons, right?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, Devon likes to go with Joel Embiid.
Devon's cheating on you.
Yeah, I know.
Just so you know.
Yeah, he stalled Sal Tunis and Devon from me this week. I won't forget, Bob.
Devon gets around.
Yeah, he does.
He's so much fun to talk basketball with.
He loves the subject matter.
I love listening to him. I love talking with him. He's the best.
Just keep your hands on
him. I want to get an apartment with him.
I want to sit in a lane with him. I want to sleep over at the Wells Fargo Center with Devon.
I hope we can do that. At Cooney's Corner... When did it get special for you? I think it just got special for us.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
You guys, I look at seasons like this often, and I look for defining moments. I try to catch them when they happen. Usually it comes later because you don't realize it in the moment. But there was my first specialness of the season, to be honest, and I've talked about this endlessly, was when they hired Doc Rivers. I loved Doc Rivers.
You were loving that.
Jamie will tell you, John, when they did it, I was glowing. But there was a point in this season that something happened, and then it went the other way, and I thought to myself, wow, this is going to be a special team. And that's when, if you guys remember, when the Sixers lost four in a row, remember they had the two games in a row against Milwaukee, a Thursday night and a Saturday?
Yes.
And I said to you, they're going to get whipped.
You thought Saturday they were going to get whipped by 40. You said 40, and I think at one time they were down by 40. You were more joking. But
I was wrong. They lost by 38.
Exactly.
And so that game got done, and I thought, okay, what happens here? Where does it go? Because when a team, that was their fourth loss in a row, after playing well, they had lost four in a row, something this team hadn't done before. I was wondering, okay, what happens? Well, all they did was go on after that to win eight in a row and 10 of the next 12. So that was the specialness to me. This team responded correctly. They didn't have a coach that overreacted to it. He rolled with the punches, and they wound up winning 10 of their next 12. Is there a part of the season that hit you to say, because I have a few more in my head, but that hit you and said, oh, this could be something special?
Friday night, win over the Clippers. I remember yelling in my apartment, like clapping, yelling, being excited about that one. And that Utah game, that one Utah game was very, very exciting to me. And they lost. But Ben Simmons doing like 40-some points and going crazy with Joel out, those were the nights that were most memorable to me.
Yeah, there was, I just had to look it up to get the dates. Two games in three where Joel Embiid had 45 and 42, followed by a 38. I went, holy hell, this guy got better. And that's a credit to Doc Rivers and his staff. But once I realized, because that was kind of when I was like, this dude's an MVP. And if they're going to win, you need an MVP caliber player. It's pretty much how the NBA works. I went, oh, we got it. And it kind of dawned on me that he was that special of a player. I always thought he could be. Whether he took that next step was always a question. And it was in mid-January that I realized he was that.
You feel the specialness?
Mine was the end of January. They were 15-6. Joel Embiid looked like he had finally taken the next step, and everything Jamie just said, you know, he's going all for 42-38. But also, if you look at the box scores of some of those games, Shake Milton was leading them in some games that Joel Embiid would sit with load management. And then Tyrese Maxey at that point went all for 39. And it just looked like a different team. It looked like a team that when Joel Embiid would sit, they wouldn't just say, okay, that's it. Where did lose this game? It looked like a team that was, okay, the big man's out. Somebody was going to step up. And it was a different feel.
I'm looking back at Joel Embiid's game log from the course of the season. Holy hell. This guy is an absolute monster. I mean, listen to this streak. 34, 37, 33, 25, 35, 35, 31, 50.
He's a beast.
Yeah. He's just having an incredible year, and he's going to carry them.
The Ben Simmons game in Utah was one that I had high on my
42.
List. 42.
Yes, that was and it was a loss.
It was a loss. Embiid was out. He and Tobias combined for almost like 75 points, whatever it was. But the thing about Embiid in that game, if I remember correctly, he shot 12 for 13 from the line.
Incredible.
Or not Embiid, Simmons.
I'm Simmons.
Shot 12 for 13 from the line.
Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. There's some positivity as you head into the weekend here on the John Kincaid Show on this holiday weekend. I'm reading some of the era of positivity that is the discussion on the YouTube chat. Tempe is Tempe.
Everybody's got to be in a happy mood on there.
Just
this
because
weekend.
You lied doesn't mean you're a liar. The guy saying this, he goes, just because Bob knows basketball doesn't mean he's knowledgeable, right? Semantics, right? Y'all drinking already? Just because Pat produces the show doesn't mean he's producer. Pat's not the producer of the show. Pat, when did you become the producer of the show? I don't think you are.
I don't know what my role is on the show.
I don't really either.
I'm just happy that my key card works.
It's just saying, he's saying that we're wrong on that. So, okay, Tempe, we'll make you happy. Everybody's a liar, which is what we said.
Yeah.
Everybody then is a liar. So if Joe Girardi
is upset offended by
about being called a liar, then everybody is a liar. So your point doesn't make any sense. Why would you be offended by it? Because we've all raised our hand and said, yes, liar.
Get off our show!
We've all said liar. We've been one. There are people, I believe, who wake up looking to just be, they're just looking to be annoyed. They want to be annoyed this morning.
Or
it's a holiday weekend. What do you want to be annoyed about?
Yeah.
Like, what if they, look, we're all liars. We're all liars. But when you get caught in a lie, you're not supposed to be called out for it? Or you're supposed to be offended when you get caught in a blatant lie and you're supposed to be, you're the offended party? I can't believe you called me a liar, Jamie. Well, John, you just lied to me. You told me that you didn't want to play golf with me, and then you went and played golf with Bob. Well, I mean, yeah, but yeah, I'm offended. You called me a liar, but I caught you in a lie.
Yeah, like when your wife catches you in a lie, guess where you go? The doghouse.
Oh.
And that's where Joe is right now. Sorry, buddy.
There's another house, though, you could go to. You could rally there.
Oh, my God.
You could. There's another. I'm just thinking of house.
All right, just think it.
It's time for you to shut the f*** up.
I'm sorry. I just got to tell you. Very excited about that. By the way, I have some nice Sixers gear packed for my weekend in Atlanta.
Nice. Nice troll. I respect that troll.
I'm very excited. I just could not wait if the Sixers play the Hawks. I would love every minute of it.
Will you be home for any of those potential games?
I would be. Well, home's where my girls are.
Yes, so true. I mean, like, and your dog. Yeah.
So, and Nikki Foles. So, yes, I would be there for some.
Oh, that would be fun.
I'd love it. I love it. I wonder if my connections are still the same.
Probably not.
I don't
not.
Believe so. Yeah, screw you. Screw you, Kid K. Get out of here. All right, we will play Joe Girardi Jeopardy coming up in the next few moments. You don't want to miss that. Plus, we're going to play Keep 'Em or Lose 'Em. Keep them or lose them. We'll get to it next. It's the Jack and Kate Show. Have a great holiday weekend. But to stay with us all weekend long on the app here on 97.5 The Fanatic. You know, as a cancer survivor, when it comes to funding cancer research, I know for a fact it's helped me live and like 17 million other people that every dollar counts. That's why we choose the American Association for Cancer Research as the official charity of the John Kincaid Show. If you've been touched by cancer directly or you know somebody who has, you can make a mark on trying to defeat these devastating diseases by making a donation today to the American Association for Cancer Research. You go to AACR.org/fanatic. AACR.org/fanatic. Because private citizen donations like you and me add up to big breakthroughs. Giving hope to cancer patients and their families. You can make a routine monthly donation to AACR's Sustaining Hope Club, too. And donations in any amount add up, and they show you care. Visit AACR.org/fanatic. That's AACR.org/fanatic, and donate today. It's greatly appreciated, because you know what? I'm living proof. Cancer, it sucks, and cancer research, well, it saves lives.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh, it's my honeymoon again. And every family party that I go to with Christina's family, you gotta have the reggae on all the time. The Jamaicans.
Yes. Let's talk more about me.
Yeah, I will. It's every time.
I will have reggae radio on the way down the
By
beach.
By the way, there. New glasses?
Yeah, thanks for noticing.
They look good.
Yeah.
They look good.
Just arrived yesterday.
They look same. They look nice. Relative same style.
Yeah, same like shape, kind of.
They look lighter.
Yeah.
They're a lighter
color.
It's a
turquoise shell.
Turquoise.
Yeah.
See that, Bob? Turquoise. Yeah.
And I got the blue light UV coating.
That helps.
Yeah.
So just get, like tomorrow.
Don't want to get the headache. Don't want to get the headache.
You see what the 1% of the population can afford?
Turquoise
and all this UV lighting. Like people like me and you and yes, right. The working class, we can't afford this stuff, but 1% are over here.
Mm-hmm. Just getting my glasses at Costco on our company insurance. I got two pairs, and by the way, they put the scratch-free and the blue is included.
Wow.
So when you need your new glasses, Pat, you're going to go see Stefan up at the King of Prussia location.
Yeah, can you do that soon, too, please, Pat? Because you do need new glasses.
I called up the place where I got my prescription done because I couldn't find my prescription. I went to go actually order glasses yesterday. And I said, hey, I can't find my prescription. Can you do me a favor? Can you email it to me? They go, oh, yeah, we can fax it to you or you can pick it up. We don't
fax it.
We're not email compatible.
What?
I actually laughed on the phone and said, how is that possible? It's 2021. And he goes, yeah, I don't know, man.
Oh, man.
Hey, so I have to go pick it up.
The Parks Casino Sportsbook app, you can download it at parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Fanatic. By the way, Bob Cooney's going to be partying today.
Oh,
with
yeah.
a bunch of people. Down at the Jersey Shore in North Wildwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bang that.
Yeah, we're going to be down in Keenan's today. I'll be heading down there right after the show. Be there from 1 to 4, having some Coors Lights with the people. It's a great, great time to kick off to the summer. They're opening,
legendary party.
They're opening at 8 o'clock.
Doesn't shut.
And bands are playing. And so, yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun. There's going to be a bunch of us from the behind the scenes here at the office down there
nice.
Today. So we're going to have a really good time. Can't wait to get down there for a little while.
That's absolutely awesome.
I got the short traffic report yesterday from my wife, and she said it was heavy.
It was so heavy going down.
I think
down.
Everybody's already down.
Good, good. That's awesome. And I hope everybody celebrates and has a great weekend, and everybody just enjoy us. And bring the app with you so you can have 97.5 The Fanatic app with you at all times. We appreciate it. The threesome. And this is a threesome.
Hey, now.
Maxie, Thibel, Milton. Maxie, Thibel, Milton. Play along with me here. Have created a lot of discussion on yesterday's show. We were talking about it. Shake was off to a great start, and then he declined. Thibel has been a breakout star this year, but has a lot of room to grow on the offensive side. Maxie energizes the crowd every time he comes into the game. So let's play a little game here, because I watched how the Milwaukee Bucks redid their roster and how they changed things and tweaked things. So we got to expect there's going to be some tweaking that goes on with this Sixer roster. So, if I told you you can only keep one of those three, who is it? And if I told you if you want to keep two of the three long term, you've got to give up another veteran on the roster. Who are you keeping and why? Maxie, Thibel, Milton. If you you can keep one, but if you want to keep two, you got to give up a veteran on the roster so he's not here next year.
Okay. I'll go, if I'm keeping one, to me it's Matisse Thibel.
Okay.
If I'm keeping two.
Do you want to keep two and give up a veteran on the roster?
How many years has Danny Green signed for? Is he two?
He's done after this.
He's done.
So Seth Curry signed for two.
Yeah, Seth has Curry two more after this, I believe.
Is it two more after?
Yeah, I think he. Let me double check. Yeah, but I think it's check. Two at 24 okay. total.
Well, the obvious answer is I'll keep two, not
Shane. Who are
Milton.
The two?
I'll keep Thibel and Maxie. And I'll get rid of Mike Scott.
that's fine. Guess what, though? These are the kind of roster
Scott's
moves
done
made.
After this year, I believe.
No, but that's what you're doing then. You're saying Scott's gone, and you're keeping Maxie and Thibel.
Yes, Seth Curry, by the way, two more years after this year at 8-8. It's okay. A great contract. It really is.
It is. But wait, Mike Scott's not really fair because okay, he's gone
that's
anyway.
Still, that's, no, it's still fair because you're making a decision to say he's gone.
Well, then, yeah.
That's, now you want, that, and you want Milton back. So you got to get another veteran off the roster.
Yeah, so I would keep, definitely.
So you're keeping all three?
Two, no, if I keep two, I would keep two and get rid of.
And
wait,
all
wait if I keep all three, who what do I have to get
you
rid
have to
of?
Get another veteran.
Two?
And you can get rid of anybody you want.
I'll keep Thibel and Maxie and just get rid of.
Shake Milton.
Shake Milton and Scott.
Okay.
I want to protect all three because I'm not ready to give up on
okay,
Shake
so you
yet.
You got to get rid of two veterans.
I mean,
Mike Scott's easy, right?
I don't want to lose Danny Green, but they're not going to pay him $15 million again, and who knows what the open market will throw at him. Mike Scott's definitely gone. See
yeah,
ya.
So Mike Scott's one of them. No, well, Mike Scott's one of them.
Yeah.
But these are the kind of moves that go down in an offseason.
I mean, Dwight Howard served a great role, he was a 1-year deal. B-ball Paul, they seem big on. I'm not saying he's ready to step into the role that Dwight Howard is. Maybe Dwight would be the guy I move on
Ooh.
From. If I can keep Danny Green, I think he brings a lot to this team. I'd love to keep him at a cheaper number. Maybe Dwight's the guy. I'd love to bring Dwight back for one more year, but I also want to see B-ball Paul kind of get a shot here.
Whoa!
I'm
shocked at that.
I like B-ball Paul.
Okay, you want to see Dwight Howard walk out the door?
No, I don't want to, but you know,
have to,
these are the hard decisions you have to make.
I'm the same way with Bob.
So who's Thibel has
Thibel,
to stay?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thibel and Maxie, and then see if Mike Scott.
And Mike Scott. But you don't want Thibel, Maxie, Milton at a veteran?
I think you can find another Milton easily. I think
you could too.
Yeah, I don't think he's indispensable.
But I don't think he's hit his anywhere near his consistent ceiling yet.
Yes.
Oh, no question. Yeah, I mean that's
he's still very young in this league, and I want another year of him.
You know what's kind of funny about this though? I think we're kind of all in agreement about Thibel and Maxie, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But with Embiid and Simmons, what makes this team so good is the shooting that they have around them.
Yes.
Those two aren't that.
No.
So it's funny that the future that you're looking at is so bright is exactly the hole that you just filled with two veterans, and these guys aren't like being groomed to replace them. So you're always going to have to go after veteran shooting.
But Shake has shown you he can be a 38% to 40% three-point shooter guy. That's part of the reason why I don't want to give up on him.
It's not an easy...
I'm protecting all three of them.
If you protect all three and two veterans got to go, Mike Scott goes, but it's got to be Danny Green.
No.
It has to be Danny Green.
No, I'd let George Hill go. I haven't seen enough of George Hill to tell me I'm keeping that guy. He signed for $10 million next year?
I think George Hill's more easily replaceable than Danny Green.
Okay. I agree with you.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so you go, George Hill would go.
I didn't.
I don't want, by the way, I can't believe I'm saying I don't want Dwight Howard to go. Because I was a person who, when Dwight Howard was signed, I said, oh my gosh, seriously? You're telling me they're bringing in Dwight Howard? And I couldn't be more wrong on that.
I'll tell you what.
Completely wrong.
I agree with you on that. And you and I have shared the same sentiment. I can't believe what a great teammate he's been.
Can't believe it.
And how well he's played very well.
He's played really well.
Second leading rebounder.
However, I am taking a good hard look before I re-sign him at B-Ball Paul and see if he can get me 15 minutes off the bench. He gives you something different.
Hey, summer may just be starting, and it starts this weekend, I guess, unofficially. But your chance to save is coming to an end. It's the final days of your local Ford store's Memorial Day sales event. Check it out today at buyfordnow.com, then get to your local Ford store. Let's have a little fun. Joe Girardi, well, he likes to play a little loose and fancy with the truth, and he refuses to answer questions now. So let's play a little Joe Girardi Jeopardy. Our contestants are former columnist, beat writer, Bob Cooney. A spoiled rich kid. A privileged life.
You're killing Eileen Lynch.
Jamie Lynch.
Who?
Killing my mother. Don't say these things.
And, of course, the guy who is not the producer of the show, Pat Egan, playing Joe Girardi Jeopardy.
Did you see me?
Gentlemen, our categories today, and I will be selecting randomly from these categories for you, include... poor base running decisions. When is a shoulder injury not a shoulder injury? Why do I keep using my best hitter in double switches? I can't have a shorter tenure than Gabe Kapler, can I? It's easier to win with Hall of Famers and the Yankees payroll. And why you morons don't deserve the truth. So I will be selecting questions from these categories for you to answer. So, Bob, you want to go for a $500 question, a $100 question? You know, you have all the answers.
Give me the 100 to start out. Let's see where we're going here.
Okay, Gabe Kapler, Matt Klentak, and Brian Price.
Who are the Three Stooges?
Name three people I can't place the blame of underachieving on anymore. You know, you can't. You were close on that one. You were very, very close on that one. Jamie, where are you going?
Let's get some money in the bank. Let's give me 100.
Oh, you're going to just want to get something rolling here. How about John Felsky, Ryan Sandberg, and Nick Leyva?
Who are NSYNC, the boy band?
The answer is, who shouldn't I have called for managerial advice?
Oh.
So you see, that was the problem.
I see how we're going. Oh, that was Nick Lachey.
Nick Lachey.
Oh, yes. I was close.
98 degrees.
Very 98 similar. Degrees, yeah. And wrong boy band, too.
Pat, where are you going?
I'll go 200.
You're going 200 here. Vodka, gin, and Drano.
Things that the John Kincaid Show drinks while watching the Phillies baseball game.
How about, no, close though, what are the three things Dave Dombrowski contemplates having in the mini bar? Okay. Watching his team play.
Just
very,
missed it.
Very similar.
Close, Pat.
Okay. Fouled it off.
Where are we going?
Give me some money. Give me a 500.
All right, Don Tollefson, a blind man, and an O'Hara referee.
Seriously.
Answer the question, Bob.
I saved this one for you. Don Tollefson, a blind man, and an O'Hara referee.
Who is the next starting center fielder for the Phillies?
No, who are three people you would trust more than Joe Girardi to fill out a lineup card? Because you know he had that lineup card incident.
Let's not scare the blind guy.
That screwed him up. and the O'Hara referee, he really got to double check their work is all I'm saying. Where are you going?
I'm
going
to swing for the fences. Give me 500.
Okay. You're going 500. Brandon Kinsler, Adam Morgan, and David Hale.
What is a retirement home?
Close. Joe, it's who most likely got a hold of Joe's naked pictures? You know, that was it. It was last year, though. He's managed to overcome that. Pat, you got it here?
I'm going to go with 300.
Okay. Roman Quinn, Adam Haseley, and Michael Barkan.
Future insurance agents.
Joe, now, what were Joe's three best options out of spring training in center field?
Michael Barkan.
Michael Barkan was the third option.
He can at least bunt. Michael B.
He did.
I'm going to get one here.
Joe loved Michael's glasses. He loved it. All right, we got one more for you here. And Bob, you can take it here.
All right.
Well, what number you want to go with?
200.
Okay. Mike Sielski, John Kincaid, and Ricky Pitalico.
Who are three non-Joe Girardi fans?
Close.
I was going to say guys that Joe Girardi loves.
How about name three guys Joe wouldn't pee on if they were on fire?
Ah,
that's very close.
Pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Gentlemen, you did a very good job there. You did a very good job with a first edition of...
He peed on me.
Joe Girardi Jeopardy there, because Joe's not going to answer questions anymore.
It's a managerial decision.
He's not... I was told by a baseball executive last night that baseball will not stand for it. They will step in at some point and make them answer questions. So the temper tantrum will have to end.
So here's how it'll play out, right?
Yes.
You probably know this. We all know it. Major League Baseball will slap Joe on the wrist and say, come on, dude, you can't come out and say you're not going to talk to him. Okay, no problem. Then they're going to ask questions, and he's going to say, yeah, I don't know yet. Now it's just going to become a, all right, seriously. And you know what bothers me a little bit about this is, look, Joe Girardi's upset about something. He's a human being. I'm not exactly sure what it is he's upset about. But what bothers me is, all right, I'm not going to talk to the media until he needs the media to talk to or wants to talk to the media.
Until he wants to use the media.
And it's kind of like, dude, we're doing our jobs. You need to do your job. Part of your job is to answer our questions because we are here for the fans who come out and spend their money to support you.
That is a disappointing response from him.
It really is, and I'm surprised.
I'm very surprised.
We all talk about Joe Girardi as the manager of the Yankees, but we do also remember him. He was a tough-as-nails catcher for the Yankees for a while.
He understands how the game's played.
I respected him as a baseball player, as a manager, like just a tough guy. That's why I thought he was a Philly guy bringing in a good hire. And now this, after not even one full season?
Yeah, I'm amazed. That's the part that shocks me. He hasn't even made it a full 162 games here in Philadelphia, and he's already showing cracks in the stucco exterior of the home. What?
Get that stuff checked, Mike.
Yeah. What? Yeah, dude, not even a full year? I know it feels like an eternity with the pandemic. You're not even a full year into this.
Come on, Joe, correct this. This can be corrected.
Sheesh.
This is a bad look. Hey, in the linchpin, Jamie says that teammates and coaches sometimes get a little perturbed with you and I.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, there's, you know, after Sunday's game that Ben went through, I started noticing more the Doc Rivers support, the Joel Embiid support, and George Hill came out with authority and said, Ben Simmons shouldn't give a damn what anybody says about his game. Basically, shut up and watch and appreciate. You know, that's my translation of it.
So a player telling fans to just shut up and
watch. No, he didn't really say that.
Fan told somebody to shut up and dribble, it's wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. I get you.
He didn't really say that, but that's how I interpret it.
That's how I interpret it.
And I love it, to be honest with you. Because, look, Ben's a point guard. Scoring isn't his primary objective. Look, if he made three free throws on Sunday, it's not even discussed. I'd like that his teammates and coach, it starts with Doc Rivers from the head down. They got his back in a big way in the media this year, and I think this is only going to help Ben. I don't recall this much support in previous years when it would come up, and I think it's the Doc Rivers effect again. And George Hill's a veteran, and he knows how to handle himself, but Joel constantly having his back. I think this is just going to... It's a quarter in the machine, and I think it's really going to help Ben Simmons ultimately in the long run.
I don't recall this much support behind him. And if, look, if us in the media and the fans on Sixers Twitter are going to make that team rally around Ben Simmons even more than they probably already do, that's a great thing.
Right?
It's a great thing.
George Hill, I think he's correct.
So do I.
I think he's correct in saying Ben Simmons should not care what you, me, or the fan in Section 12 says or whatever. But I do get annoyed with the players, and I don't know how many players I've heard do that. I hate it. These people telling us to just shut up and dribble. They're telling us not to have an opinion on things, not to speak on things. Look, the fans pay the bills. The fans watch the games. The fans buy the tickets. The fans buy the gear. The fans pay the bills. Fans are entitled to their opinion. Just shrug off their opinion as being they don't know what they're talking about. I get what George Hill's saying, and I love the fact that he wants to have someone's back.
Yeah, and he's new here, you know?
I love that. Like, I think that's a great thing. And I think that should always be applauded. But the fans have every right to have any opinion they want, even if our opinions are stupid.
Yeah.
As long as it's not hateful, I have no problem with it.
Right.
Who cares? As long as it's not nasty personal attacks on the guy or anything like that, who cares?
Yeah, I mean,
shrug it off.
I wish I could. I don't know. If I'm in front of 15,000 people at my job every day and I am getting direct reaction, you know, that's hard, I think, to a point. I've told you, Evan Turner and I sat down and had long talks about it, that when they got people would get personal. And, of course, that's not right. He said, I know it's supposed to be part of the job, but it just isn't. The Ben Simmons thing is so interesting, Jamie, and I'm glad you brought up this topic. Because we saw it a couple years ago in that Nets game two. Fans booed game one. He comes out, phenomenal game two.
Mm-hmm.
Fans were questioning his 15 points, 15 rebounds. He goes out and scores 22 points. Is the game that easy to him? Because I wonder. Rudy Gobert covers him and he says, this isn't right. He takes 23 shots and scores 42 points. I wonder sometimes if this game is so much easier to Ben Simmons. The shooting isn't. But if it's so much easier to Ben Simmons than we even realize.
Mike said yesterday on the Mike Missinelli show, he was talking about that, well, Ben obviously has a little of that FU in him.
Yeah.
That when he's questioned, he'll say, oh, really? Oh, well, then FU. Let me show you what I can do. I think that annoys me worse. That somebody can say, oh, yeah? You tell me I can't do this? Well, watch me do it. And then I'm just not going to do it on another night. I think that's actually works against Ben.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I sat here and said that when I saw his, you know, his performance in game two, and it was obvious that he had made a conscious effort to score more after so much criticism was about his scoring. I'd be lying if I said I didn't think, okay, are we going to get it in game three now? Or is this just a one game, hey, I'm going to show you what I can do, as you're saying, and all right, you guys know it's in there.
I think it's going to depend
now he's calling
on,
right now.
On what Scott Brooks does. Like,
I think that's Joe Girardi.
Like Scott Brooks is trying anything he can possibly drum up to stop Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris. I think if they start doubling him again and the lane's open, Ben will take it. I think he's a smart player, and he'll take what the defense gives him.
We are looking forward to a big weekend of Sixers basketball. Jamie and Devon tonight will get you going with it with draft lines tonight. So that comes your way what time? 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock tonight? To 7 o'clock. Looking forward to it. It marks my Friday. When I hear the music that Devon opens the show to, I go,
Friday's here.
Yeah, the light at the end of the tunnel. I have one more hour, and then I'm on the weekend.
Take my pants off.
And Devon and I will be doing a pregame show tomorrow for 2 hours before
nice.
The Sixers game.
How about that?
5 to 7 tomorrow. Devon and I will be on these very airwaves getting you ready for Sixers basketball.
And I'm going to get froyo with Devon at some point. Because I don't want to feel left out.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I think it's great. And remember, take the app with you. So if you're going down to the shore this weekend and you don't want to miss out on any of the excitement of this first round matchup, remember you always have the 97.5 The Fanatic app, so you can hear Bob and you can hear Jamie and you can hear all the activities of the station all weekend long. And we appreciate you when you hang out with us. The more time you hang out with us, the better. It's great. And we see you out there. We see the streaming numbers. We see you on YouTube. We see you on Twitch. And you are greatly appreciated. And I've got to tell you, I'm very excited about a holiday weekend. Just to see things. The mask mandate lifted in New Jersey today. The mask mandate lifted a month from today in the state of Pennsylvania. It's coming together. It's coming together, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah,
for everybody and for all you businesses that are trying to dig yourself out of a hole, I hope this weekend is a huge boffo success for you. Vinny, we'll get to your call if you hang on. Is it a mistake? Are we making a mistake? Bob Cooney's going to warn us that we might be. Coming up, it's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You need power for your house, right? You don't want to live like you're out in the prairie. So you need energy. So I want you to become a Star Energy customer. But here's the best thing. If you're a sports fan, you can start saving yourself some cash with Star Energy. You join Star Energy, they give you a great fixed price. They give you all green energy. And by the way, there's no early termination fee. But here's the winning shot. You make a prediction of a team that's going to win the championship. And if your team wins, you're going to win $150 in energy credits. Get it wrong, and they're going to give you $25 in energy credits. That's pretty good. You're going to constantly be able to succeed when you have the my friends at Star Energy on your side. They are great, great folks, and with fantastic. That energy from Star Energy is going to be perfect. You want to be green. You want that no early termination fee. But look, you want the fixed price. That's what it's all about, right? So here's what I want you to do. It's free to pick, and they've even got a free sweepstakes going on right now, and all you have to do is just call. So call 833-GO-TEAM-3. That's 833-GO-TEAM-3. Pick your team that's going to win a championship. Get yourself that $150 in energy credits. Star Energy has got that free sweepstakes, too. Put some fun in your electricity bill and join Star Energy today. Tell them John Kincaid from The Fanatic sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Thanks so much for choosing the John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic to begin your mornings. We greatly appreciate you. Hopefully everybody's ready to party this holiday weekend. It's going to be great. Bob will be at Kenan's later today, so I want selfies with Bob all over my Twitter feed today. Tag me, get the selfie with Bob down at Kenan's. Bob loves to get amongst the people. You're always good with that.
But he loves selfies.
And you love selfies.
I love being amongst the people. I found myself doing you yesterday.
Yeah, there you go. I can't wait today. It'll be fun.
That's going to be great.
Yeah.
All right, Vinny, hold on. I want to get to Vinny here before we get rolling. Vinny, welcome aboard the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. How are you, brother?
Good, good. Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Hey, Vinny.
Man, what's going on, Vinny?
Good, good. Now, I just want to chime in on the Ben Simmons, how he contributes against this team that we're matching up against. So, you know, when we say, do we think that he can score easily? Does the game come that easy to him? You know, I think when he decides whether or not how he wants to contribute across the board, whether we're talking about points or rebounds.
Yeah, I mean it's I don't put it as he had the sixth best performance, Vinny, in NBA history of assists in all the games that have ever been played.
Well,
that performance. So I don't put it on one game he can be a scorer, one game. I'm looking at the wins. Does he contribute to the wins, and he's a major contributor to the wins?
Well, Vinny kind of made my point former, helped me with my point that Vinny said, yeah, I think it's just some games he decides to rebound, some games he decides to assist. There's not a lot of NBA players that I know of that can say, all right, I'm going to do this game, and then can go out and do it. So yes. That leads to my point of being, I think sometimes this game is really easy for him.
Well, when you're 6'11", one of the fastest guys in the league that can pretty much get to any spot on
number
the court.
One pick.
Yeah, and you have the endurance that's probably up there with anybody in the NBA. Yeah, it tends to, you know, be easy at times. You're a physical freak. And that's why people just want you to attack the rim.
And that's all it is. And look, I found it interesting, though. I heard the whole discussion yesterday with Mike on his show where they were, you know, talking about the fact that he's got some FU in him.
Yeah, I believe that.
Says, okay, don't we all?
Yeah.
A little bit? When you're called
some
on something?
Some more than others, yeah.
When you're called on something? I mean, I'm not going to say that I was called on something earlier this year. It begins with A and ends with A and has an A in the middle. And I like the getting the needle out and just poking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, you know, and we love to find people in Albuquerque.
Oh, we didn't know you lived in Atlanta.
Albuquerque.
Yeah, some people, I think, turtle up when they get that. But I think a lot of people, the majority push of people, back. Have that F you. Yes. I'm going to push back.
That's what you do. Hey, Respectable Roofing's got all your roofing needs covered. The name says it all. Respectable Roofing, where respect matters. I saw the weather forecast for the weekend.
Ugh.
This is what I always... This will be my first, even though my Memorial Day weekend we spent away, it's my first Memorial Day weekend back as a Philadelphian. And in a long time, and I always remember this. I always remember being down at the shore. We would get our shore house, and it would be our first big weekend at the shore. I always remember having on jackets, sweatpants, jeans, and it being freezing at the Springfield Inn. Being freezing.
On Memorial Day weekend?
Yes, always cold.
It's a violation.
Always cold. What?
You can't wear jeans.
No. Down the beach. You have to. No, not to the Springfield. But when it's freezing, it's raining, you don't wear jeans at the beach?
No.
What?
No, you wear shorts and maybe a hoodie or shorts and like something like... No, you
not
never wear...
Not to the bar. Just when you're going... So you're going out to breakfast.
No.
Really?
No. Am I wrong here? Why aren't you backing me up?
I've
never thought about it.
So it's like 58 degrees at the beach and raining, and you're talking about you have to wear shorts?
Is it after May 1st?
Well, obviously,
that's the rule.
Day.
May 1st, October 1st, you must be in shorts.
What the hell are you talking about, Bob?
That's
rule.
Ridiculous.
If it's 50 degrees, I'm not sitting there trying
degrees.
To be...
Why are you wearing shorts?
You're looking Tommy like a... Toughnuts against Mother Nature.
It's not Tommy Toughnuts. You're down the shore. You wear shorts.
Not if it's 50 degrees,
it's 50
you don't.
You can't
say
rainy.
Shorts without shore.
That's a good point. Caller has a point. I can't argue that.
So if Checkmate. There's a bad weather weekend, we're going to have trouble cooking out this weekend, right? People have trouble with cookouts.
Yeah, unless you're under an awning or something like that.
And then if you're under an awning, you're not supposed to be cooking out.
Well, aren't you having something built where you can put your grill under a something or
other? No. We're having a covered porch built on the house.
All
on
right.
The back of the house and the front of the house. But it's not for putting a grill on. I don't think we...
Don't talk to me about grills.
Be.
Obviously,
it
I don't
can,
know how to work them anyway.
Well, so. You've been burned. I think you wanted to burn off your fingerprints. Yeah. Witness protection or something.
He has talked about his willingness to bury a body if his buddies call him up.
You have with
him. Yeah. You've talked about that on the show before.
So are there fingerprints on a shovel that's going to come up
sometime?
If
one of your buddies calls you up and says, hey, bury a body, you're there.
In fairness, I haven't brought it up. You guys have said that I would be that guy. If somebody called me, that I would go, what did you do?
Man.
I've never brought up that I'd be there.
I think you brought it up. How many?
I don't think so.
How many bodies?
I think Bob may have some bodies thing. No. Chief Dan checks in. Big Dan from the Bryn Mawr Fire Company says shorts. He agrees with Bob.
Yeah, you don't wear long pants down the shore. You don't.
I think I've worn jeans
violation.
Down the shore.
Oh, yeah.
When it's like 50-some degrees and cold, like 58 and rainy.
Yeah, that's what hoodies are for.
You go freeze your
I mean,
back.
I do love a hoodie and shorts combo. Don't get me wrong.
Freeze your backside off.
The only thing
off.
To do.
I'm blown away. This is up there with the stupidest conversation we've ever had. If it's 50 degrees, I'm not wearing shorts.
Well,
care. Down the shore you are.
This isn't.
This is coming from. This is coming from the guy who always says, "Why is it about taking your pants off?" And now you're sitting here arguing with us about pants and shorts.
I didn't start the argument.
I do. I will say
that you just ended it.
I had another guy saying, "Did me get the same thing yesterday?" Saying, "Yeah, you keep saying you're going to the beach in a couple weeks. You're going down the shore. You're back in Philly now." I'm like, "I'm going to the beach. I'm going to Florida. I'm not going to the Jersey Shore." Thank you for the word police. I go to the beach.
Well, congratulations on your success.
Seriously, go to the beach.
Well,
come on. It's what? It's cheaper. It is cheaper than the Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah. That's the reason we started going to the Outer Banks, me and my cousins, because we can get a house much cheaper.
Yeah.
We go to a place called Hammock Beach. And it
Not
is,
Banana Hammock Beach,
is,
I hope.
It is south of St. Augustine, north of Daytona. It's on A1A. And it's cheaper.
Yeah.
You could do you could do 7 days there for the price of 3 at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, that's probably what the Outer Banks equates
to,
too. It's nuts.
And much nicer accommodations most of the places.
Yeah.
Some of the accommodations are a little... I like the new stuff that's been built. But Big Dan, though, says jeans for fishing. So are you a fisherman?
No.
Coach is going fishing tomorrow.
I grew up fishing a little bit, but I wouldn't consider myself a fisherman.
So you're not a fisherman? The Anthony thing. I just always. He's a fisher.
Those
a fisher
guys don't wear jeans on Wicked Tuna. They're all in shorts. And if it gets cold, they throw in a hoodie.
Do they wear cargo shorts or do they wear.
No, they're mostly just long shorts. Cargo shorts aren't a bad thing.
They're bad on a golf course.
Oh, I'm not going to
judge.
They're
bad on a golf course.
Don't judge.
Yeah, pants down.
Wait a minute, there's a dress code on a golf course.
Well, then how come you see people in cargo shorts on a golf course?
Because they don't do that, exactly.
Yeah, pants at the beach or sweatpants, that's a violation.
Thank you, Coach.
That's a violation, you're saying.
Shorts.
You, you see who you're in the corner with?
Shut your mic off.
I'm getting lots of texts in from the cousins that are all killing me and agreeing with Cooney.
That's right.
And even Mikey McNellis, the adopted cousin, says, shorts all day. But he says it's the only time he'll agree with Bob.
I got to be honest.
Shorts all day.
I don't feel good about being in Kincaid's corner on this argument, but.
It's Cooney's corner. Wait a minute.
All right, look. It's going to be.
You know?
I'm going to take a survey today, John. Sorry for interrupting.
No, do it.
I'm going to be at Keenan's Bar from at least 1 to 4. It's going to be cold down the shore. It's barely creeping into the 60s.
Right.
I'm going to take a look around. I might even text you. Well, maybe. But, and let you know how many people have pants or jeans on. Because I guarantee 90 to 95% of the people down there will be
any
in
kind
shorts.
Of long pants. We're just saying any long kind. Pants to shorts. I would guess the ratio will be 70-30.
Okay, and we'll have
70-30 shorts.
Our boss, Chuck D'Amico, will be right next to me the whole time. Whether he wants to be or not.
Whether he wants to
and
be.
And we will get fair reading on this.
There you go. Now, Philadelphia 9 on our YouTube channel says nobody wears cargo shorts anymore. Okay, he has not gone south of the Mason-Dixon line, where I believe some people are still wearing them at formal events.
They're still around. You see them.
Is there an age? There should be an age limit on cargo shorts.
I don't think you can wear them under the age.
Are you going fishing? I mean, are you going hiking? Are you going fishing? I get it.
I think over the age of 50, do whatever the hell you want.
For cargo shorts?
I don't think you can wear them under the age of 50.
I don't think cargo shorts. Fishermen.
What are you looking at me for?
You're going fishing. Hey, in Cooney's Corner, Bob says avoid this mistake.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Well, it's funny. We're all doing it. And I did it too. I think, and I still do. I think that that the Sixers won't lose a game to the Washington Wizards. This is a sweep in my book. I've said it from day one. I really think it is. The next series against New York and Atlanta, does it scare me at all? No, not really.
Okay.
I think the Sixers deposit them with no problem at all. Here's the key, though, for Doc Rivers, for us as fans, you can't look past these, though. And I don't mean just the show up and play. I'm not talking about that. You need to work on your game. So, with these two remaining games against Washington and then the five, you like I did that? And then
I like that.
And then the five or so that they'll have against either New York or Atlanta. I'm really interested to see if Doc Rivers, you can show up and win those games. The Sixers showed up in game one and won against Washington. They could probably do it 3 or 4 more times against the opponents that I just laid out. Obviously, you're not going to be able to do that in an Eastern Conference Finals. Don't overlook these games. As I said at the end of the regular season, you got to get something out of it, or you have to implement something into these games. I'm keeping a real keen eye on, is there something different that Doc Rivers is doing, even though these are going to be easy, air quote, win games? That's where I say you can't overlook these games. You have to get something out of them, or implement something into them that you are trying in a game that you may use for further purposes.
So you want to see the zone tried out?
I know. I say it ad nauseum, but
because that would be something
true.
To take out of a series that you can win.
I'd rather someone not see it, and that's probably dumb. That's probably dumb to believe that you have to hide stuff.
Well, the Knicks aren't exactly a big 3-point shooting team.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. Atlanta
yes. Could, so maybe that's a good time if you face them to try and, you know, see how you do against some shooters with it. Because I think that's the big concern, right? Is it, if they start knocking down shots, do you stick with it? Do you get away from it?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the time to experiment a little.
There's going to be points
in series coming up that you're going to need both defense and shooting. Okay?
Yeah.
We know who the best defenders are. The best defenders are not good shooters.
They're not.
So what you're going to have to do is when you have your good defenders in the game, Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle, you're going to need a good shooter if it's not a start of your second unit, kind of like maybe a Furkan Korkmaz. The way you hide him is go zone. You put those two up front, you hide him in a zone. That's something that I really think Doc Rivers is going to have to look at, and I'm a fan of trying it before. Again, he did it against Indiana the one time. I'm a fan of looking at it again before you face a New Jersey Milwaukee.
Yeah, you're almost viewing the next series, and again, this one to my earlier point of being a little cocky, you're almost viewing it as like a practice get right for the Eastern Conference Finals.
Because it is. You know, like,
I know.
It's going to be an epic disaster for it not to be. You should be using these two series to game plan for either Milwaukee or Brooklyn. I mean, that's the whole advantage of being a number one seed, is you're able to, you know, dominate the first two rounds and cakewalk to the Eastern Conference Finals.
There we go. Good job, Bob.
Thank you.
Big shot, Bob. Big shot, Bob.
That's Robert Horry.
I don't think I ever hit a big shot.
No?
You never did? I would have expected you hit one at some point.
Hit a couple free throws with no time to go down one. We won the game by one.
Okay, those are big shots.
You were in eighth grade.
I was in eighth grade.
Was it really?
You know who was on the other team?
Who?
Worldwide West.
Well, Rock was.
Rock was on the other team. No, I don't remember
really?
Too many big shots.
Egan, you scored a goal that won a championship, didn't you?
No, straight he did.
I scored a goal to send us to the championship.
To send you.
We then got hammered in the championship. It was an overtime goal.
Okay.
And I was the worst player on that team.
Okay, now the boys and ladies, I guess I don't want to judge because I can't tell by names, on our YouTube channel have now gotten into another spirited debate. Mopar dictates that you do not wear socks with sneakers. No, Mopar.
No, Mopar. I mean, I do it once in a while.
Once in a while, but no, Mopar.
My cut-the-grass sneakers I go sockless in.
But they are bum sneakers.
But they're the bum sneakers.
And they smell like
they're awful. They're terrible.
Do you keep them outside?
Sometimes, yeah.
What,
if it's not raining.
Cutting sneakers?
Yeah, I keep mine in
the garage.
They're going to stink.
Yeah, they stink.
You wear sneakers without socks.
They get ruined.
They're ruined. They're going to stink within...
But I do agree the look with no socks is the best look. So I get those under the...
The under socks.
But even more so than those, they sell the ones that have
the little edge, right?
The plastic part that hooks on your heel and then it keeps it below the sneaker.
You can get those. What is our length of sock just called there, Bob?
It's an ankle sock.
It's an ankle sock.
A tennis sock?
Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Like, I don't know. The ones that don't go at all above the shoe look stupid.
Why?
Like, because they slip. Like
I hate that feeling.
It's you that slippage that. Feeling.
That's why you get the ones with the plastic sticky on the back of your heel.
That's pretty good.
They're great.
The girls in my house wear that.
I wasn't making fun. What's the plastic sticky thing?
It's got
a little sticky device on your heel so they don't slide around and they stay below the sneaker. And it only goes up to like halfway around your top of your foot.
Pat, you wear those?
I have one pair of no-shows.
Yeah, that's what they're called. No-show socks. Yeah.
Okay, so when I see no-shows, that's what it is.
Yeah,
okay.
But for the most part...
But they're usually very thin, too.
Yes, which I like.
And they're very easy to lose.
Yes, agreed.
I understand.
Because they're so small that they get lost very easily.
Okay. The a thin sock, though, I guess it's because of my bad feet. The ball of the feet, there will always be a hole in those... Any kind of thin sock...
I prefer the dress sock in pants to an athletic sock.
I can't do that.
I still, to this day, if I have to wear a suit or something like that in dress socks, sweat socks underneath.
Do you really?
Swear to God. The sweat socks underneath.
I cannot wear one pair of dress socks. It's way too thin.
So do you wear dark sweat socks?
If
you're wearing black shoes and you're wearing like black slacks.
Right.
You're not wearing white. You're wearing
underneath
of the athletic sock.
Yeah, you won't be able to see.
Okay, fine.
No,
so that's good.
Yeah,
so we appreciate our YouTube crew has some very very creative subjects.
Glad we settled that debate.
Mopar, I think we did not. We didn't like that.
Maybe Mopar's a no-show sock man.
Could be. Could very well be. The Fred says, clip your toes, JK. Clip your toes. I will do the.
Be careful. People are eating right now.
No, I will do I will absolutely go get a pedicure.
Oh, pedicures are amazing.
It doesn't surprise me.
Well, absolutely.
Have you ever had one?
I would absolutely.
They give you a leg massage. It's
no,
awesome.
More importantly, you just it keeps your feet looking good and clean.
It was really good.
I've only seen my feet.
Your wife?
So, of all my faults, I'm going to walk into a room and she's going to say, "Man, your feet look really good." I don't think so. No.
Why did you marry Bob? He had beautiful feet.
I wear flip flops, so you know people see my feet.
His feet are always seen.
Yeah,
and that drives you.
Oh my
nuts.
Gosh!
I love it.
I got the hot feet, man. Oh. I can't cage these animals.
Jamie, you don't like what the Knicks fans are doing, and it is, to me, it's really pathetic.
I thought this was so pathetic.
It's so amateur hour.
Yeah, like, look, MSG and the Knicks crowds getting all the love from the national media, because, look, I've said it before, MSG is awesome.
Because they spit on people?
Well, that guy got suspended from the arena. Just like
popcorn guy got so much press, spit guy got very little mention.
Yeah, the Sixers did a nice job with their PR statement about the popcorn tosser. Good job by them. But MSG was rocking the other night, and it's a great theater to watch a sporting event. I think it's incredible. And then it came out that they were passing out chants to Duke against Trae
Young.
It's
like going to Duke.
Oh, what a loser!
Yeah.
That's when you go to Cameron.
And I thought that was so cheap. They're a great fan base. You know, they don't support bad products. I get that. But they're a great fan base. You have to pass out signs on what to cheer that says Trae Young is balding. You couldn't just come up with that and organically spread it around the stadium. You need signs to hand out. This isn't Cameron Indoor Stadium.
They haven't been in the postseason a long time. They're sort of like those 17-year-old cicadas.
So they got training wheels on?
You know, they're learning. They're trying to create something that's unique.
So they're just coming out and having sex and yelling and then going back in a hole?
First of all, it's not unique. What they're doing is not unique.
Oh, it's stupid.
This is what they do at Duke, but at Duke they do it viciously.
Are we talking about cicadas or fans?
No, well, they're both.
Wait.
The fans in New York, they only make the postseason
once every 17 years.
So, I mean, it's like they come out of the ground and they go to the games.
Are cicadas just coming out to have sex?
Yes. That's what they do. Cicada orgy. And then
they go back underground for 17 years.
They're called the Bob Cooney of insects.
They
come out for 17 years?
Yes. And
that's where they live underground
Bob,
for 17 years.
Bob, that's how
years.
Good the cicada sex is.
Yeah, it knocks them out.
Have you ever had cicada sex, Bob?
Bob, come on. You don't even know this.
If it was good, you're not doing it once every 17 years.
It knocks you out.
Bob, it's so good that you just have to take the nap immediately after, and you wake up 17 years later, and then you're ready to go again.
I'm starting to think Bob Cooney just watches sports. He doesn't have sex like we thought.
I don't think that there is. I heard Egan with an ad overnight, which was strange. That now there's the Cicada Blue Chew.
Yeah,
for the cicada that slept too long.
If you forgot how to do it, don't worry. It'll wake you up.
I didn't know they came out.
Yeah, that's literally all they
do. That's what they're there to mate, to keep the species
going. My buddies down in Virginia and Maryland have sent videos of their backyard. It is so loud. It's amazing.
No, they're like trucks.
I haven't heard any around here yet.
Oh, my gosh. No, no, thank you.
Once every 17 years?
Yeah.
We had them.
Bob can barely go 17 minutes.
We had them in Georgia, and it was not. It was not. It was
It's
creepy.
Loud.
And it was loud like, Bob, loud like a. Like someone had a truck, not a tractor trailer, like someone had a truck idling outside your house.
Well, they're angry.
But the weird thing is, it stops at night.
They're backed up with the evil.
They stop at night.
Once every well, seven day,
daytime
years,
sex
years.
Is better.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Let the boy watch.
Yeah, it could be better.
So I get where they're coming from.
I saw in Australia.
I feel bad for the cicada now.
I saw in Australia they're having a problem with an influx of mice. Like, there are mice everywhere.
Yeah, farmers are getting, it's like the mouse apocalypse.
Calling it the mouse plague.
What happened?
Where you just like, I mean, I'm talking, it's
thousands
seas of mice. Yeah.
But why?
Farmers, they're eating the crops.
And it's.
No, but why is it all
there was,
of a sudden?
There was a drought, and because they're coming out of it, it's the most ideal situation for them to just do nothing but have sex. So what would you rather have, mice or cicadas?
Cicadas.
Mice.
Oh, give me cicadas.
I hate. They remind me of
17
roaches.
Years?
Bob's still hung up on the 17 years.
Yeah, what you're hearing is a cicada orgy, Bob.
There we go. That is. It's an orgy.
It's a key party of cicadas.
I have a strange feeling. I know what we will be talking about on Tuesday morning, and it won't be cicadas, it won't be socks, and it won't be whether you wear cargo shorts. We'll get to all of those coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. So much fun to be had on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Now, look, there's that daily baseball action that always can get you involved. Everybody has been enjoying betting on golf too, which is fun, but it's playoff time in pro hoops, and you're going to want to be involved with your team in action this weekend. Do you know how many rebounds Joel Embiid's going to get? Do you know how many points, let's just say, that Ben Simmons is going to score? You can bet over-unders on players. You can bet over-unders on quarters. You can bet a line that moves continuously during the game. The in-game wagering with the Parx Casino Sportsbook app is absolutely fantastic. Plus, they're going to give you a $500 risk-free bet, which is even more fantastic. So download the app or click parxcasino.com/PA. Use the promo code FANATIC. Bet on pro hoops. Have a great, great time this weekend. And always feel like you're a part of the action. Parx Casino, they're the best. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Puts a smile on Bob's face.
Hey, Hazel.
I just love watching Egan bop.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. We are halfway home on our pre-Memorial Day edition. Our 8 a.m. sponsor is Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. We really appreciate Martin Law for their fine patronage of this program. Hopefully you think it's a fine program. My cousins do not. My cousins have all decided to go Team Cooney. Now, powerhouse young Michelle.
Oh boy,
steps in and she's not. She says, "Is this the John Kincaid Fashion Hour?" She's like, "Hey, she does not want." I mean, she's chiming in there too. They all seem to be Team Cooney on this one.
I got a text from Joe Z, our sales guy. He said, "A nice pair of Lululemon jogger sweatpants, flip flops down the beach. That's living."
Joe, the Lululemon shorts are great for your wife. But what are you wearing?
Oh,
I
want
to know what he's
Lululemon's
wearing.
On right
I'm wearing
now,
a Lululemon. Yeah.
Well, of course, Jamie does.
Yeah.
Lululemon. Love it. We have to get some Lululemons.
You got
to
love yourself, John.
That's
it. And Lululemon loves your privates.
They're great. Yeah.
Oh,
and
my
what?
God.
Yeah, guess what?
Comfort, Pat. Comfort.
Yeah, those are pants you don't want to take off.
A few weeks ago, I say to Christina, like, okay, so I'm just going to think. I said, what did we spend $120 on? Oh, I had to get Olivia some shorts.
What?
I said, Sphinx, to say what? I'm like, $120 for 3 pairs of Lululemon shorts.
Oh, okay. No, that's a bargain.
Yeah, it was a special deal.
Yeah, that sounds like a good deal.
They're
on
deal.
Sale, John.
It was two, buy two, get one half.
Well, they're basically just giving them away for free.
Yeah,
that's what could these shorts do? Do they massage your backside?
They it's unbelievable.
Okay, what do they do?
They cup you up and they hold you in a place that is elite. Your thighs don't touch.
They give you a big old bear hug.
Wait a minute.
They basically,
Bob, do you hear this?
It's like little angels propping you up and making you comfortable.
You just said something was elite. Tomorrow.
Yes.
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 You know what, John? You don't get it.
I don't.
Because you're sitting there wearing Costco brand.
No, I'm cheap. Because I just don't want to. No, I'm wearing Under Armour.
And I go and
get Under Armour at the outlet.
I'm a big fan of the outlet.
So am I. I love the Under Armour outlet.
I rack up a lot of money there.
But as my wife and daughter say to me, Dad, you are always a year behind on the color. Like my daughter
on the color.
Yeah, she's like, Dad, that was last year's color.
Oh. Jesus.
She's like,
zip it, Olivia.
That's what I say. Hey, you want more clothes? Post. Come on now. Let's get it rolling.
Sixers
here.
Wizards.
Bob is very, Bob's getting the, absolutely.
Bob's still
getting,
focused on 17 years between sex for cicadas.
By the way, I was wrong. Michelle's checking and she goes, no, she's all about the jeans. She is.
She's a Johnny Two-Timer, too?
No, she's all about the bass. All about the bass.
Hey, Johnny Two-Times.
Little powerhouse she is. She'll kick your butt, though, so it's good. And the Lululemon pants.
Ugh.
Yeah, my cousin Matt was out golfing in a pair of them. I'm like,
they're incredible. Their pants are called ABCs, the anti ball crushers.
I said, you take them from your mom's closet?
Where'd
you
get those? What
pants were you wearing before that your balls were getting crushed?
Seriously,
I never wore pants.
I can't explain it to you unless you try them.
You're buying bad stuff.
Apparently, Jamie has massive balls. Like, just respect it.
Thanks for recognizing that, Pat. Finally,
not hard to figure out, Bob.
It's unbelievable. It's just crazy. All right, what's coming next? A 2-0 lead in a series, Bob's sweating on this one. Heading out on the road sort of creates a mandatory requirement. What do you always hear when the home team has won the first two games on the road? Well, now go get a split on the road. Everyone, go get the split. And that shouldn't be a tough task. But a loss in a third game of a series gives the team life that you're playing, and that's what Milwaukee took care of last night with Miami, pretty much choking the life right out of them. That's what can happen to the 76ers tomorrow night. But then if you win the third game, you want to sweep and get it over with. So why does the cliche of just split on the road exist anyway? You win the third, you always want to win the fourth and close it out. This Sixers team was better on the road this year, but now they need to prove it when it counts. I looked at how they usually play in Washington. They don't tend to play well. So I've got a strange feeling that when we come in Tuesday, we will be talking about a game five where the Sixers are trying to close out the series. So I ask you, Bob, Jamie, Pat, Coach Camille, Connor, and Heavy Chevy Mike, what do you say when we come in on Tuesday? Are we talking about the series sweep, or are we talking about getting ready for game five in the series?
A cicada has a better chance of getting laid in year 13 than the Wizards have of winning any of these two games.
Wow.
The 76ers.
Wow.
What an analogy.
Bob, like molding every conversation of the show today, the only thing he didn't slip in was socks with shoes or cargo shorts.
Yeah, I just, if there's... The only way there would be a game five is if Washington wins game three. Because when the Sixers deposit them in game three, their bags are half packed, the golf clubs are in the car, it's over. And as much of a competitor as Russell Westbrook is, when a real competitor sees that he has no shot in something, they are more apt to turn it off than anyone else. And I think we saw part of a turnoff the other night.
I think we're talking sweep. I think...
It's a party. Tuesday's a party.
Yeah. I think you saw...
You're getting choked up about it.
Excuse me. Yeah, I'm getting verklempt just even thinking about a sweep.
All right.
I think Russell Westbrook, you saw his soul leave his body in game two. I think he's done. I think they know they're done. Scotty Brooks is in desperation mode. It's over.
Pat? Tuesday morning, we are talking about...
I can't say it any better than Bob did. I mean, the cicada reference was spot on. I think we just should have probably moved into the linchpin at that point. Because he's right. They have no shot. Like, it's adorable that they thought they had a shot. And to their credit, you can never take the fact that they were leading at the half in game one away from them. They will always have that.
Will there be a banner?
There might be. But, this is a sweep.
All right, so... All three of you tell me that I'm I just have a feeling they're going to split. They don't play well there.
It's possible. When this first started, I said five. So, but now I just see it going differently.
The Sixers, you're right. They don't play. And I've been to many of those games down there where they didn't play well. But here's the thing. The Sixers can play not well, even in Washington, and still beat them. And I would put my money on them still beating it. I just don't see any way. The heart's ripped out of Washington. They've tried everything. The Sixers haven't even turned it up on Bradley Beal as much. They showed a glimpse in the first quarter on Sunday where Ben Simmons wouldn't let him catch the ball. Nah, they can turn it up. The Sixers haven't even showed anything. They've showed up and played and won two games. They don't. It's over. Goodbye.
All right. We will find out on Tuesday.
Eradicating them like the cicadas.
I would like that, man. I just don't want to. That's why I'm sort of glad to be in an apartment right now, because I do not want cicadas.
Russell Westbrook reminds me of a cicada.
He does?
Yeah, he's loud and annoying.
I saw one of the debate shows yesterday as I'm flipping by and I'm trying to see what they're going on. Is that and they were discussing that Russell Westbrook is confined by his uniform.
What? He's not wearing the Lululemon.
That he's confined uniform? By his uniform, that he wears a size smaller uniform than other players wear.
He chooses that.
Yes, that's confining to him and that hurts his shooting.
Wait, who said this?
What?
This is a new low for debate show.
One of the analysts on the, I think it was the Rachel Nichols show. So that's The Jump.
Yeah, is that Robert Ory?
They were talking about why is Russell Westbrook struggle as a shooter? And the suggestion is that Russell Westbrook has talked about it. He likes wearing very tight clothing. He's Connor. He's their version of Connor. So he likes wearing tight clothing, and that confines him as a shooter. He's not loose enough.
This is a new one.
I've never heard it before. Never heard of it, but guess what? I never played in the NBA, and I'm taking that this analyst did. I can't think of the guy's name. Hollins? Is there a guy named Hollins? It's
Dave.
Not Mac Hollins. It's not Dave Hollins. Miserable. It is a guy, Ryan Hollins?
Ryan Hollins did.
Is he an analyst for ESPN? Ryan Hollins, maybe?
He shouldn't be with an opinion like
maybe,
that.
Maybe that could be it. Maybe it was Ryan Hollins? I don't know.
Yes. He played for UCLA. Yeah, you're right. It's Ryan Hollins.
It could
Hollins.
Be Ryan Hollins.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That it could be. That it's
no offense, Ryan Hollins, but that's stupid.
I think it was him.
No, be
him.
Offended. No, he needs... I think you need to offend him.
I think it could have been.
That's the most ridiculous analysis I have ever heard in the history of my life.
Tight uniforms?
Call Herb McGee after the show and ask him about that theory.
Hey, nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. By the way, this is the John Kincaid Show, the only show that Andrew Salchunas does not appear on.
Wow.
Andrew is on the man is, he's everywhere. He's ubiquitous. I turned on the television yesterday afternoon, there's Andrew Salchunas.
Yeah, he's the Swiss Army knife.
He is.
Of this place.
He's everywhere.
Everywhere. Beers with Bob, mornings, afternoons, nights, well, you name it. Who was the first all-star we had, John?
There you go.
First all-star we had.
Andrew Salchunas
came in with happy a about suit it. On.
And remember, he said he drew the short straw.
But no. He rectified himself by dressing up for us.
He was a little bit like those Australian mice. But, I was warned by the women in my house that I am not to pick on Andrew Salchunas. Did not like that. Bob, you have a strange summer shore memory.
I'm still a little pissed off about it.
You really are?
How many years are we talking?
Bob, like, how long is this memory from?
Okay, so we didn't have much growing up. Like, I had nothing. So I think I was about 12 the first time I went down the shore. So we go and visit these friends of my parents, and they're sitting in playing bridge or something. So I go walking out on the street. And of course, first time down the shore, I don't know what it's all like.
Do you know what shore?
It was Ocean City.
Ocean City.
I bring down my baseball glove because it's summertime, and, you know, that's what I did. I had catches with myself because whatever. So I see a sign that says Phillies tryouts down at Ocean City High School or wherever it was. And I was like, oh, awesome. So I'm 12 years old. I grab my glove. I go down. I'm going to try out for the Phillies. Swear to God. This is God's honest true story.
Okay, so it's like a youth team that's the Phillies.
No, so what it was for, because back in the day, and it's probably gone out now, but back in the day, they would have tryouts for, like, American Legion kids like that. And they would call tryouts, and, you know, maybe they'd send a scout down, and they'd look and maybe see a kid that they could do something. I just thought anybody could go and try out. So I go walking up, and I got my glove, and a guy comes over, and he's like, hey, how you doing, son? I said, good. Where's the tryout? And he's like, for what? I'm like, for the Phillies. I want to try out for the Phillies. And the guy goes,
so you're like an eighth grader.
Yeah.
A sixth grader.
I was younger, yes.
Okay, sixth grader.
And I'm like, no, I got my glove.
I'm ready.
I had no idea what the hell was going on. And the guy, it wasn't the nicest of guys and say,
really?
Like, come back in a few years. It was like, nah, you got to be older. You know, like, basically, get out of here. I remember, I swear to God, like it was yesterday, walking back towards the house. Now I'm 12, first time in Ocean City. My parents have no idea where I am. And I remember looking down the streets that went to the beach. And you know how, like, I was amazed that you could look down a street and there was nothing there. Because it went to the ocean, and you just didn't see anything. And
were there ramps to the boardwalk?
No, I don't think so, because I was more in the gardens,
I
think.
So you're more in the gardens.
And I had tears
coming out of my eyes saying, like, oh my God, am I never going to play for the Phillies? Do these guys not know that I was just about to try out?
That really was. And it did, at the time, it really hurt you.
Because I thought I was.
So that's when you realized you weren't going to be a pro athlete?
Oh my gosh.
It started to creep in.
Wow.
You were in sixth grade.
I had in my head, like, what number am I going to wear? I really thought I was going to play
for the Phillies. Shore memory, Jay?
Probably the one where my ass cheek got stuck to the jacuzzi filter and I was underwater for 2 minutes and in the hospital for a month and a half and I almost died.
You were in a month and a half in the hospital?
Maybe a month, yeah. Oh so that was literally painful.
Oh my gosh. That
rocks my story a little bit.
Nobody
wants to hear about it.
I was just dumb.
And you passed out, right?
Oh, yeah. I had five adults pulling on me to try and they couldn't budge me. And the lifeguard realized to turn the system off.
That ass cheek, man.
Yeah. I almost died.
Strong ass cheeks.
Now you guys realize why he needs the Lululemon.
Now he needs the Lululemon.
Now you understand the ABC pants.
There we go.
Mine's, we were playing wiffle ball down the beach, and somebody, I guess, had buried a broken beer bottle.
Oh.
And I ended up slicing my foot up really good. And I had to, we were probably 7 or 8 blocks away from the house we were staying at, and I had to hop back to the house and patch up my foot.
Gosh.
Yeah, it was fun.
That is
nasty. We're having fun.
Oh, that's nasty.
If you don't clean up after yourself on the beach, you're scum.
What, if you're bleeding to death, you mean, on the beach?
The fact that the bottle was left behind.
No, that's absolutely
stop it.
That's nasty behavior. You don't know how to, it's public. It's public lands. We're all sharing it.
Yeah, and there's trash cans right there, so it's like not that difficult.
I know that my brother and sister had an issue because of the fact that I came along at a different time in my parents' life, so I don't ever remember staying in a shore house. We always went down to the shore and stayed in
a motel.
Hmm. So I don't remember staying in a shore house. We stayed at a place called the Gaslight, which was 7th and Surf. And then the other corner was the Luray. We stayed there at 7th and Surf, North Wildwood. And then by the time early high school came around, everything was the Madrid, a place called the Madrid. I know that the Gaslight and the Luray do not exist anymore. There's now condos there because I've been to North Wildwood. I do not know if the Madrid still exists.
I'll check it out today, John.
It was in Miami, because you're going down.
I am going down today, yeah.
Where will you be?
I'll be at Keenan's Irish Pub, of course.
Sounds like a
from
great
one
spot.
To four. Oh, we're going to have a great time. We'll be drinking Coors Lights, hanging out, talking to the peeps. I'll be calling in, actually. I'm calling in Anthony's show, and then Tyrone is filling in for Mike today. I'll call his show twice to give the vibe down the shore. Come on down. $10 to get in, and all the money goes to a great cause.
Do you think that Bob may be the call later in the day, maybe a little more loose?
I think so.
Now, Bob's driving. Bob has to drive back home today.
Okay, so
you'll
drink responsibly.
I'll be responsible,
is what we would hope everybody. Unless you can wander home from Keenan's. And then
Bob will stumble home from
then
Keenan's.
All bets are off. Have as many Coors Lights as you want. Then at that point, if you can walk your way home.
Well, our boss has a place down there. He says it's far. It's 5 miles. I've known to walk 5 miles after a couple.
Sure.
Beers to make sure you had a bed.
It's nice when the boss is rich, too. Isn't it nice, Jamie? I mean, you probably feel more fondness towards the boss.
They can commiserate on their yachts.
Yeah. When they just go, That is a strange memory, though.
I can still close my eyes and see it was stuck up to a telephone pole. Phillies tryouts. I thought, oh, cool. I was wondering where they were going to put me in the batting order. I had it all planned out.
He just gave up on being a pro athlete when Jock and Kate showed up in town.
We once, a group of my friends and I had a caper where in Ocean City, we're in college or probably the year between junior and senior year of college, where a professional wrestler, his girlfriend had gotten hit with a bottle at a fight. So the people who lived in the apartment that was connected to these other people's apartment had to vacate the apartment because they were running from being caught for hosting this party where the woman got hit, and I guess one of their friends did.
Jeez.
So their apartment left everything in it. Well, the people we knew had a passageway from that apartment to that apartment, and it was full of just chock full of stuff all summer long that they had just abandoned. Mm. But there's police tape outside. So maybe one night we decided to go see if there were any clothes, if we were cold, and we put on the lights, and there were people stalking the apartment waiting for people to come back, and they were stomping up the stairs to come into the apartment. So we had to go back through the closet, put the thing in, and then go back out, back out the side and run. And we had to run away from the professional wrestler and friends. So that was not a good caper. And we were looking to ransack the place.
Speaking of professional wrestlers, there's a professional wrestler movement in the Sixers.
What do you mean?
It appears Triple H and Shawn Michaels, or excuse me, I'm not a wrestling guy.
Yeah, those are those are the leaders.
Do I have
DX.
That right?
Yeah. They're the leader, right?
They are fully behind the process. They're tweeting out.
Are you kidding me?
The Joel Embiid hip thrust. They're tweeting out hashtag Are you ready? Hashtag Trust the process.
What?
It appears.
So they're choosing sides in this.
Well, the boys are on board.
It makes sense because they kind of brought the chop to the forefront in the 90s with their group DX.
Okay.
So they see it as an homage to themselves. Of course they jump on board with that.
I like this,
though. I think we could have a potential bell ringer down the line here.
Well, and also, I believe Joel Embiid for a little bit was going by the nickname The Game, or he was getting introduced or something, like, because Triple H's nickname was The Game.
Yeah, but I don't remember
that. He was doing the spit, like, oh. Triple H used to put water in his mouth and spit up into the sky. He was doing something to that effect. He was, like, paying homage to Triple H.
Yeah. Well, this is hot off the press. 8:08 a.m.
Wow.
This morning, Triple H on board.
Strangest thing that Cooney, that's the strangest thing to me that you know about. What? Knowing Bob, like, your knowledge of wrestling.
I used to watch
me,
it.
Did you watch it with the boys or did you watch it yourself and then introduce the boys to it?
Okay, so when I was a kid, I would watch it. And then I got yelled
at. George the Animal Steel
yes,
and all that?
And Chief J. Strongbow and Billy Whitewell. But then I was a little high strung. And my parents said, if you're going to watch it, you need to watch it down the basement. And every time I went down there, they would lock the door. Well, not the basement. It was kind of whatever. Because I would start jumping and breaking and, you know, doing stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Lock the door?
Yeah, because one time I was ticked at my brother, and he was upstairs laying on a bed, and I was watching wrestling, and I was, so I went upstairs, he was on the phone with his girlfriend, and I literally jumped in the air and elbowed him where your Lululemons protect you so well. I was like, TJ Sober! And I,
oh my gosh.
And then I ran out of the house over to my friend Glenn's house like 50 miles an hour. So I got a little rambunctious when I watched wrestling.
Bob being high strung.
They couldn't contain me.
That's something we learn all about each other every day. I would never have guessed that.
My parents would be amazed. I would wake up and I'm just ready to go.
You needed magic spoon.
Yeah.
A little too much sugar.
And by the way, the wrestling boys being on board with the process is brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets.
There we go. That's crazy. Are the Phillies ready to go on a run?
Ah!
Well, if they're not, then what the hell are they doing? It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
There are a lot of sportsbook apps out there, so how do you know which one is the right one to go with? Hey, it's Eric Coach Camille. How about the one that lets new users bet risk-free for 7 days? TwinSpires Sportsbook is now live in Pennsylvania, and they've got a great offer for you. New players can download the TwinSpires app now and unlock a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Just use promo code FREE1000, and you can bet the Kentucky Derby of Sportsbooks right from your own phone. Bet on all the major sports risk-free for 7 days when you download the TwinSpires Sportsbook app and use promo code FREE1000. As we know, the Sixers have a commanding 2-game lead over Washington. Maybe it's time to check out the TwinSpires $25 NBA playoff bonus. All you have to do is place a pre-match spread wager of $50 or more on any NBA playoff game. And if the total points scored reaches 225.5, you'll earn a $25 free bet. Download the new TwinSpires Sportsbook app and bet today. Must be 21 and physically present in Pennsylvania to bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Think Pee Wee's dancing on the bar.
I say we kill him.
No.
I say we hang him, then we kill him.
Sandlot.
Yeah, it's Porter throwing up in the roller coaster.
Yeah, this is Jaw.
Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download it at parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code FANATIC. Get yourself that risk-free bet up to $500. Folks on YouTube saying that Cooney is now Chief J Strongbow. You now have a title.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got it. You're taking on the name now. Heavy Chevy, for our, as the boss has nicknamed him, Mike, who does our YouTube directing, producing of that broadcast on television and Twitch, YouTube TV, is absolutely exceptional. This guy is kicking ass. And if you see our YouTube presentation, it is not three guys, four people sitting in boxes like it's a hostage video. This young man is constantly creating visual magic for you. So Chevy, fantastic job. I mean, absolutely fantastic. Folks raving about it every day, and we see more and more people consuming the broadcast every day. Remember, if you're in your car and you listen to the show, or you listen to us while you're at work, or you're listening on the app, you can go check out the YouTube channel and see other days' broadcast, see some of the stuff. It is, it's truly incredible what he's managing to do. Does
good
a
man.
Really good job there. And hey, Connor, you're answering the phones well, too. You're doing very well with
I
that.
I share a special moment with the two of them every morning with Connor and Mike.
This is adorable.
What do you do?
We go watch the sunrise.
That's very nice.
And today's was spectacular. We didn't have a good week, but today's was spectacular. We put it on the 9 scale today.
A nine
today.
Did I catch a niner in there?
Yeah, we got a niner in there.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
Good job, Heavy Chevy.
Uh-huh. That's what we do.
Kid is doing an exceptional job.
He is. And he's one of like 16 boys, right?
Six brothers.
He's got six brothers.
I think he may be one of six.
I'll bet you he's got some stories to tell about hitting the brother in the nuts.
I bet you he does.
I'm not the only one.
I bet you he does, so there could be some problems there, too. You were running from your... Because you were the baby.
Oh, yeah, by far.
So you're running from... As I was, too.
Yeah.
So you run from the older brother trying to beat you.
Yeah, the scaredest I was as I was going down the steps was, oh, my God, I hope the front door isn't closed or locked, like the bigger door isn't closed, because if he's chasing me...
Well, he wasn't in pain? Like, he wasn't bent over
I don't think he ever got out of the bed for a while, because, yeah. I was kind of a... I did some... Yeah.
You a little bit of a jerk, or what?
I liked confrontation.
It's so weird. It what not. Happened to you, then? What changed you?
Too many confrontations.
Growing up, I mean, because that's like you said, you were high strung as a kid. I can never picture that.
Oh, I was nonstop. I like a typical summer day for 10 to 25 year old Bob Cooney was like get up, go, get home at 12.
Yeah, but that's fine. But that's what that was my life too. But I was high strung at school.
Yeah,
you say you weren't.
No, at school I was calm but no, when it was playtime.
Playtime's great.
No, but I mean when my eyes open, my mom would always say, she's like, how do you wake up wide awake? I didn't yawn and stretch. Like, I woke up and said, what are we doing?
Yeah, where are we going?
Here we go.
Did you play stickball with tennis balls? Or did you play stickball or did you play half ball?
We didn't play half ball. We either had, if we could find the pink spongy ball. The
pinkies.
It would be a one bounce thing. Or when we couldn't find them, tennis balls would pop too easily because we used a broom. We had a guy at the hardware store that would, when he had a broomstick that broke, the broom broke, he would save them for us.
Okay.
So we used them, and sometimes it would break the tennis ball too easy, so we would use the pinky ball.
Would you do wiffle ball where you put the strike zone on the wall?
No.
Or tape?
Our strike zone was a chair.
A lawn chair.
Yeah, a chair.
So you did lawn chairs?
Chair, yeah.
I didn't know. Jamie, reportedly we found out, there's some video of it too somewhere, that Jamie, they used to have the butler. actually hold up like a strike zone that he would adjust depending on the kid
size.
That was coming over to
play.
So
if Egan came over, he had to like lay on the ground and hold it up.
It's just terrible. Did Egan, were you ever invited over to the Lynch Estate back as a kid, or were you not in that neighborhood?
No.
You weren't allowed in that neighborhood?
I don't get invited out a lot. I know that's a surprise to a lot of you people, but my dance card's, it's really wide open.
So if you'd like to hang out with Egan, then we can take...
We're not even charging. It's not one of the items listed on the AACR auction.
You just didn't even...
I just got nothing going on, so... Could be hanging out with cicadas later today.
I want to think that that's sort of untrue, though. I want to think that that's not the case with you, Pat.
I think Egan was popular in high school.
You were popular.
Yeah, no, I mean...
You were
like
popular.
It's like a douche if you say you were popular. I wasn't...
No, you were liked. You were in the mix.
I got the... In senior year, they had the superlatives. I got class clown and school spirit.
There you go.
So I was, like, people...
He was Mr. Popular on the debate team.
No, don't be... I was on the chess team.
I thought you did both.
We brought that trophy home. He won a state championship. Did you, Lynch?
I was on the chess team, which won a championship, and when I was on the worst... lacrosse team in the Catholic League, which did not win a championship.
They actually took his time on the debate team was going to be there, but he said say make a fictional argument. He made this fictional argument that the fourth best pitcher on a staff was the ace, and they said
every day
they said no.
It is every day.
Every single day
they said no. You can't.
And I can't believe we got 2 hours and 37 minutes in the show before he had to like fit it in somewhere. He's got a quote apparently.
Ring the bell next time. Have you guys, when you go to the airport, now I've gotten so comfy with this airport now, just going in and out, but it is pricey to park.
Yeah, because the economy parking shut down.
Correct.
They got to open that back up.
Have you done any of the airport parking rides?
Yes.
Do you like them?
Yes, if you can plan accordingly and have time on your side, yeah.
What do you mean have time on your side? Because I'm thinking about trying one today.
You'll be all right. I mean, call and see how frequent their trips are. If it's every 5 minutes, you're fine.
Father Casey told me yesterday it's like every 5 minutes the shuttle comes.
Yeah. Yeah, if that's the case, you're all right.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just so much cheaper.
I've never, ever had problem parking and getting to where I need to be in a timely fashion in Philly.
Using one of those...
Do
you park on there?
When I was covering the beat, we were only allotted for the economy parking.
Okay.
So I'd park, and then you walk to the thing, wait for the bus. Bus takes you into the airport. But
And they
never...
shut that thing down. I have no idea. How can an airport not have economy parking?
I know. That's not good.
And don't tell me it's COVID.
I think it was.
It has nothing to do with COVID anymore.
I think it was the shuttles in COVID time.
Nothing to do with that anymore.
Well, yeah, I agree.
And buses didn't stop during COVID, did they?
Not SEPTA, no.
They didn't.
No, they need to open economy back up.
Open the damn economy up. Because I would absolutely go economy.
That's what I used to do every weekend for Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I think it was like $11 a day or something.
I had a great little trick, too, where I would... Now I can't park in economy and walk into the E-gate.
But you can anymore.
I know, you can.
They
changed it.
They put it
so the economy one goes that close to E-gate.
Yeah, at the end. And then the E-gate isn't as crowded as the other gates, and then you take the shuttle over to the main gates. It was a great little trip.
Oh, yeah. Did it plenty of times.
I'm going to try it today for the first time, because when I go to the beach, I'm going to have to leave the car for a certain period of time. I'm like, unless I get one of those ride services to the airport.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Yeah, you can afford it.
I don't like it.
What time's your flight?
1:10, I think.
You have plenty of time.
Oh, I know I do. That's why I'm going to try one of the parking rides.
Yeah, I just chill and get some Annie Ann's or something.
No, Annie Ann's isn't open either. COVID. Seriously.
COVID shut down the Annie?
COVID shut down Annie Ann's in the airport. In the airport, there's...
You've gone too far, COVID.
There's like four things open.
Gone too far.
At the airport, at least in the D gates.
Some cinnamon sugar pretzel bites.
There's nothing better. You want to go get that, and then you bounce right by the Dunkin' Donuts on the way up. And you're there, you get your iced tea, and you're all in
heaven. God, hands is good.
You're in heaven. Hey, in the linchpin, well, Michael Pittman has some insights for all of us.
This is the linchpin.
I couldn't help but laugh at Michael Pittman's comments. Now, I think as a show, we've done a very good job of not mentioning the former quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles' name. And
we're
very much not hung up on it and out of sight, out of mind. But... these quotes made its way into my timeline several times this week, and I couldn't help but laugh. Now, Michael Pittman is having the back of his new quarterback who he's going to grow with and hopefully thrive under. Yada, yada, yada. He's saying all the right things. But Michael Pittman, we just dealt with, what, 5 years of number 11? So, maybe chill out.
So he doesn't know Jack, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. You've known the guy a week through some OTAs, maybe a month. Like, let's chill out here, Michael Pittman. So he went on to say, oh, this guy's on a mission. He's locked in to prove everybody wrong. He's got Super Bowl in the mind, but I've never seen anybody so locked in. All right, that's fine. Then he goes on to say, I have no idea what everybody else is talking about. I see a team guy. He's always there, just like ready to help and do whatever it takes. He's been a great guy, been a great teammate. So that's pretty much all I have to say about that. He's just been great so far.
Okay, so that can be a totally true statement.
Dude, you've known him 2 weeks.
Exactly, but his statement could be completely true.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know his true colors. He doesn't know what kind of a teammate
exactly.
he really is.
Let's not... I don't know what everybody's mostly. Talking about. Well, guess what? Shio Kapadia and Zach Berman and Bo Wolf and Jeff McClain and all these guys that have been, you know, kind of digging up the dirt of the locker room for the last couple seasons. I'm going to side with them over Michael Pittman, who's known the guy for 2 weeks and he's putting on his best face. Let's see what happens when some adversity hits. Let's see what happens when maybe his completion percentage, if it doesn't get up to an acceptable rate.
Or like Bob and I, where we were a little unruly as kids, learned how to be ruly.
Unruly?
If you're unruly, then you're ruly. We learned how to be ruly and learned how to maybe, I believe Carson Wentz learns from this. I think
it's possible.
I think he's going to learn from his experience.
But Michael Pittman.
Don't judge me in 2 weeks. Please.
Relax.
When adversity hits, you don't find out anything about anybody.
No.
You see them in adversity. That's when you find out. When things are going great, you don't really know somebody.
I agree with that. Yeah. Look, the first 2 weeks that he came here, he was already anointed.
Yeah.
So, that's all right.
Hey, I just wanted to, give him a little pat on the head and be like, that's adorable. Why don't you come back to me in 2 years when you actually know the guy?
All right, now wait a minute, though. His statements can be completely true.
Sure.
From what he knows. But, I mean, he's expounding a little too much.
Yeah.
He's selling it too hard.
Yes. Yeah.
He knows where his bread gets buttered.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
And look, he's a young guy that wants to grow with them and make this work.
I'm one of your boys.
Yeah.
I'm one of your boys.
Come on, man. Don't tell me you don't know what everybody's talking about. I think it's a little different here.
Hey, draft lines tonight, Devon and Jamie.
Looking forward to it. We'll break down all the NBA games this weekend.
And you both... do you believe Devon Gibbons? Would you ask him the question tonight? Do you think he sees a game 5 or is it a sweep?
Sure. I'll ask him.
I'll tell you right now. Devon and I are step in step on this.
Sweep.
Ain't no game 5.
Okay.
Step in step?
No.
Lockstep.
Lockstep.
Is it step in step?
Here he comes.
Was it step by step?
Step by step. Day. Yeah.
Don't.
Turn his mic off.
Can we get you an earlier flight?
Together we fall.
You should probably head to the airport now. The traffic's really bad.
Patrick Duffy and Suzanne Summers.
I was going to ask you guys, where did Suzanne Summers fall on was she like the crown of your eye?
No, she had like a year and a half run.
Okay, because the Thigh Master was like...
No, but that was when she was
very sensual for a lot of people.
That's when she went away, though.
Okay.
That's after she had went away from the public eye.
Because I only know her from Step by Step.
You don't know her from Three's Company. We would know her from Three's Company.
I mean, I saw some reruns growing up, but
a knock on our door.
Yeah.
She and her husband have sex every day 3 times before lunch.
That's what she says. Still today.
Really?
Yes, that's
Seems
what
like
she
a
says.
Workout.
Had a girl.
That's what she says.
Let's go work by Suzanne.
What does she look like now? Let's check.
She's not bad looking. She's a pretty lady.
So I didn't, when she was in Three's Company, was she like?
Oh, yeah. But she had like a year and a half run because she quit the show while it was at the height of its popularity.
Mm.
She quit the show. She pulled a power play and said, I want to be paid more. And they said, screw you.
No one cares.
We're not paying you more.
Mm.
So that's why she had to do Thighmaster ads.
Mm.
Until Step by Step.
Because I only really know her from Step by Step, which is funny.
Where Patrick Duffy.
I never watched either one of those shows. That's weird.
Step by Step was horrible.
Oh, yeah, it was bad, but I loved it.
Step by Step, horrible.
Family Matters, don't you dare. Don't you dare.
It's terrible.
Stop. You're going too far.
You've gone too far. You've crossed the line.
We've got a time machine or something that turns
Don't bring Urkel into this.
Urkel into...
You see Urkel's in the weed game now?
Yes,
he's got the purple Urkel.
Purple Urkel.
Yeah.
And Jaleel White.
Okay, Jaleel White. Then there was...
the dinosaurs
Full
were...
House. Terrible.
Don't
not
dude,
funny.
What is wrong with you?
They're not funny.
Why did you wake up and choose
because
violence
Because you
today?
Know funny?
They're not funny.
Please,
exactly.
Know your role. Stay in your lane.
Funny. Who's funny?
Cut Who is it funny? Out.
Popeye.
Dave Coulier, come on.
You got it, dude.
Popeye spots.
Uncle Jesse and the criminal up in the attic.
Uncle Jesse from? General Hospital.
Jesse and the Rippers. The answer is Jesse and the Rippers, and that is the only correct answer.
He was
answer.
In Blackie and the Riff Raff.
No, he was in Jesse and the Rippers.
And then he killed, by accident, he killed Lou, and he went to prison, and then he went and did Full House. So that's what happened to him.
Now he's in some Disney Plus awful basketball coach show.
Ooh, I gotta check that out.
His wife did him really wrong.
Yeah?
John Stamos?
Rebecca Romijn.
Oh, yeah, they were together.
And Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah.
She did him very wrong.
That's a shame. Uncle Jesse doesn't deserve that.
She did him very wrong.
Yeah, she stole all his
And Oikos. Honestly, look, would you rather be Jerry O'Connell or would you rather be John Stamos?
John Stamos.
So John Stamos?
Absolutely.
Favorite non-pornographic magazine? Never mind.
What?
Good Housekeeping, obviously.
What are you going. Talking about?
What?
Suzanne oh Jamie got it. Sex three times before lunch every day. She's
that's
no
a good
cicada, is she?
That's a good fun
no,
fact.
I'm just
you.
Trying to read up on
that's BS. That's
and she
like,
talks about it openly. Yeah,
that's like Wilt Chamberlain. Every day. That's like Wilt Chamberlain saying he had sex with a
who are we to call her out on
a thousand different.
Well, if we asked 10, her, she
1,000 people or whatever.
At least she's not Joe Girardi, and she doesn't say it's a managerial decision when she's asked about it. She's open. She's
that
an open
be.
Book.
That could very well.
No load management in the Summers household. No
she's open, all right.
Okay, that's where we're really dancing the line. That's,
oh
where,
my God.
That's where we're really.
I'm talking about
no
rest.
Load
I'm
management.
Talking about rest, guys.
Oh, boy, that is
I'm
good.
I'm talking about rest.
That is good.
Rest.
That is good.
She plays in every game.
Jamie, just shut your mic off and go home. That's the best line you've ever
did
had.
Did you see LeBron last night? LeBron with another valiant effort, and now he wants the popcorn guy doxed.
Yeah, that's a little too far for me.
LeBron James, who earlier was had to retract his tweets about the incident in Ohio, I guess it was Cleveland, where he had to pull it back, where he said, like, you know, you're next to a police person. Then now it wants the he wants the popcorn guy doxed.
Yeah, he's basically pleading with the NBA to let his name be known to the masses, which I think is, look, the guy got his season tickets revoked and he got banned for life from the Wells Fargo Center. I think that's a pretty good and fair punishment. I don't think you need to ruin the guy's life.
So LeBron wants the popcorn guy
exposed,
his life destroyed.
More or less, because, I mean, once your name gets out there on that type of level, that Google search is tied to you for life.
So LeBron wants to just...
And
it's that important to him. Interesting.
I understand why the players feel like, you know, this can't happen.
It can't happen.
Absolutely. Can't happen. I agree with him there. But to potentially ruin somebody's career or earnings, I think that's a little too far. Like, let the league handle it. Let the team handle it. The Sixers, I think, did a good job in addressing it swiftly. I think that's... I think he's learned his lesson.
LeBron, last night in the Lakers. Scared of the Lakers?
I got to see some more of them. But on the surface, for some reason, no. Because after LeBron and AD...
I'm scared,
which
of,
is
any,
a big,
I'm scared of anything with LeBron James.
Yeah.
You never want to face
him. Because LeBron James is he's a freak of nature.
I would love for the Sixers to face the Lakers in the finals. I think a Ben Simmons, LeBron James with their history.
The drama.
I was at a summer league game in Vegas one time, and you hear all this noise, and the Sixers were playing, and LeBron sat right in front of me because he wanted to come out and watch Ben Simmons play. And they're really close, and they train together, and LeBron respects Ben Simmons. We talk about Ben Simmons' game being upped because he's being questioned by us. I think him playing a series against LeBron would be really neat.
Oh, there's no question putting the Sixers on the absolute map, because they always, for some reason, they're getting less press right now than the Knicks and the Hawks.
Yeah.
Which is a joke. A series against LeBron James on the biggest stage.
Philly, LA?
In July.
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And as we know, Joel Embiid kind of owns Anthony Davis as of late.
Oh, I think he does.
Yeah.
Not kind of.
So I think you...
He's a nobody.
Yeah, you can kind of eliminate him from a series as much as you can. He still, you know, can stretch it and shoot.
LeBron James, to me, is one of those guys, though, is that there are certain athletes when I'm flipping and LeBron's on the screen, I just have to watch.
Yeah.
He does amazing things all the time.
He might be the greatest basketball player of all time.
He may be.
I'm not saying that to engage in a debate because
But he's right there though.
You have to watch a player like that.
Don't you do that? Don't do that Tyrone Johnson mind game on me because I think I know that Michael Jordan was the greatest I ever saw. I think I know that.
I'm not trying to do that to you.
Tyrone doing that little like sneaky stuff. It gets in my brain and then I start agreeing with him in my head, going, wait, maybe what I think I know is wrong.
It's amazing how many greatest of all times are going right now in different sports.
Well, the NBA has had a beautiful rebirth of just great
talent. So much talent.
And great ambassadors for the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great ambassadors in the community.
Yeah.
Great.
The NBA is a great product right now.
And it went through a period of time when it was not.
Sure.
When it was not. And now they are just, it's exceptional. There's so many franchises that have cornerstone guys.
Yeah.
Some of them multiple.
Mm-hmm.
And guys that the league can build around, market around, everything. Baseball could take notes.
Oh, because sure they could.
Because those guys are out there.
They might have the best player of all time in baseball playing right now, and he's the least marketable guy.
I mean, think about it. Mike Trout, LeBron, Tom Brady, Ronaldo, Messi, Federer, Serena. Yeah. Like, there's so many incredible athletes in the world right now.
We're lucky. Phil Mickles.
Yeah.
There you go. Phil, too. He's feeling it.
I love
it. All right.
Did you see Phil's comments yesterday? He played in the senior event, and he shot 3 over. And they go, Phil, you shot 3 over. He goes, yeah, I didn't play well today, but I won the PGA on Sunday.
He's all right with it. All right, spring hoops into summer hoops. I love it. We have 1 hour to go till our holiday weekend begins, and so does yours. You'll go right into Cuz Radio. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. So we talked about it earlier. Bob and I, as kids, were bouncing off the walls. Betty would not let me have sugar cereal. I forgive you, Mom. Don't worry about it. But you know what? Coach, she didn't know about Magic Spoon. She didn't know, so I forgive her.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make this real, real simple for you today, John.
All right, do that.
Stop eating bad-for-you food for breakfast, because there's an alternative. It's called Magic Spoon. Incredible keto-friendly cereal, 4 net grams of carbs, 0 grams of sugar, 14 grams of protein. So why do you continue to eat breakfast foods that are bad for you just because it's convenient? Magic Spoon is good for you, and all the flavors are delicious.
Yeah, cocoa, fruity, frosted peanut butter. And as Coach is telling you there, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, GMO-free, but chock-full of flavor. And you can get a 4-pack variety pack with the cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. Use the code Kincaid. MagicSpoon.com/Kincaid. MagicSpoon.com/Kincaid. That's going to save you $5. You will love Magic Spoon. Tell them that Coach and Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You worked hard all week.
You got a 3-day weekend ahead of you.
And that boss pushed you just to the brink. Tell him to stick it. Mm-hmm. He can take that job and shove it. You're working for this weekend.
Be ready for it. Hopefully you had a great week, and hopefully you're going to have a great weekend. We'll have a great, great time with you. And we will return on Tuesday with the John Kincaid Show after game 4 of the Sixers and the Washington Wizards. And the 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. You can get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to bagster.com. Sixers sit 14 wins away from a championship. The folks in Milwaukee, Laverne and Shirley, getting up this morning 13 wins away from a championship. So there's one thing I'm really liking about this strange post-pandemic season. It's the schedule. I love that there were people in the world of sports talk radio that used to say, well, we're in the dead time of sports. There's nothing going on. You'd be like, okay, well, then why am I listening? So just turn it off. You now, we have got something to bridge us right to football season. And it's the NBA. And I love the fact that we are usually getting ready for the NBA finals to start right now. And we're still in the first round. June is going to be NBA month. July, the first 3 weeks, is going to be NBA month. I love it. I love the schedule. And the NBA says they will go back next year to a more traditional schedule, though it may start. I've read a couple things in the last couple 48 hours that schedule may start the first week of November, may start the second week of November. They may push it back a little bit. I'm loving this. I love baseball, but summer hoops is great for me. What about you? You want to see it go back to what it is before? I love the fact that we're going to have a month of June full of NBA, and then hopefully we will be watching deep into July.
Now, I'm a summertime guy. I love summer. I love being outside. So the fact that you only had one sport going, baseball, for so many years, I was okay with it. I was fine with it because if the Phillies were good, great. If they weren't, I wasn't sitting by a TV all that much anyway if I didn't have to. Then I met this guy. Not met this guy. Then I was joined with this guy, Anthony Gargano.
Mm-hmm.
Who, when we were doing a morning show together, first time I heard it said, I want to rework the scheduling of pro sports. And it's exactly the and it's exactly the way it is now. He wanted basketball to start on Christmas Day and go into the summer so it would carry us, just like you said, John, late July. Then August you have practice for football, and then boom, there it goes. At the time, I kind of scratched my head. Wow, I never really thought of that. I love it. Absolutely love it. I would stick with it if I was the NBA. My opening day is Christmas Day.
I love the fact, though, and Mark Cuban, by the way, is the biggest owner that's pushing for this. This has been Cuban's thing all along. Christmas, start the season. And his thing was end the NBA finals begin August 1st.
Love it.
Like around August 1st, right around there. Take it into mid-August, and then you're done, and you're out before the NFL. And then the early games of the NBA season are played against the NFL playoffs.
Yeah, don't put it back. Distracted. Don't put it back in the bag. It's been out. I love it. Also, as a fan of a historically bad baseball team that can't get their own head out of their ass, I like having another sport option in summertime. I think the NBA season gets lost in. I mean, really, camp starts up typically in mid-September. Sure. It gets lost in. I mean, like, we watch, but, you know, the Eagles kind of dominate. So if you can push it back and bridge the gap of the Phillies in the summertime with something else, it's phenomenal.
I'm all for it. I never thought of it until Anthony brought it up. And now that we're actually doing it and we're in it, and I'm sitting there usually at this point going, oh, just get me to September. Get me to the meaningful football, not the preseason crap where we overdo and act like every catch during training camp is the be-all, end-all. But, like, we're actually watching meaningful sports. I please keep this. Don't change it back.
I do not believe Commissioner Silver says they're going back, which I'm very surprised at, that they are going back.
Yeah.
And going to do that.
It's unfortunate because now, you know, the players are kind of getting accustomed to a different schedule. So now's the time to do it. You're not going to do it again in 3 years once they're back to the old schedule. So if you're going to do it, just rip the Band-Aid off and do it now. I'm sure the players like having their summers off. But guess what? When you're a millionaire and get off, you know, 5 or 6 months of the year, your summer can be wherever you want it to be.
And I don't think I would mind it, except your kids are in school.
Yeah.
If you're a parent,
sure,
you can't travel with your kids.
Yeah.
Unless you're taking your kids out of school to go on big vacations and everything, you can't just have all that downtime.
Yeah.
After the Eastern Conference Finals end, like, Shaq and that crew, they vacation. And they vacation big time.
Like, yeah.
They just shut it down.
Sure.
And they go to Wildwood for 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Hunt's Pier?
Who can afford that? Two rooms.
I don't think anybody can afford it.
Shaq can't afford Wildwood for 2 weeks.
I don't think Shaq can afford Wildwood. He can rent out the pier. I love this. I love it, and I hope they keep it like this. Lewis in Pensauken joins us on the Fanatic. How are you, Lewis?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you?
What's going on, brother?
Hey, real quick, a side note about the NBA.
Yes.
I always thought about this. Do you know that the NBA is the only sports league that can actually say they have the best players of their sport on the planet?
NFL.
No. NFL doesn't. Nobody
yes, they can.
The NFL outside of the United States.
No, they do. No. Canada does. Europe does.
Not to that extent.
No, I got you. But yeah, I mean, they do.
You know, 300 million Chinese people play basketball every day, right?
Right.
Seriously.
Okay.
Everybody plays all around. I'm saying they don't. If you think about it, they're the only. Look at the talent now. You have Antetokounmpo, Jokic. You got Luka Doncic. You got three of the best players in the league that ain't even from America.
The international flavor is what you're saying.
It's because with the infusion of the international players into the NBA, you have guys from all over the globe. And I'm going to tell you real quick how smart they are. They see all this talent in Africa. What did they just start? The African League.
Yep.
Because they wanted to procure all the talent in the world. They want the best players. And this is the thing, like, what you look at, like, let's say NHL. They should, if they really want to really popularize their sport, you need to have leagues in countries that, you know, that are very warm weather, and build infrastructure and have kids that play it in that country. Who knows? You might have the greatest player ever coming from Ecuador.
You don't know. The only problem is that it's so expensive.
6'4" shooting guard from Guayaquil, Ecuador.
No, what if it's a 6'4" right winger?
Yeah.
From Ecuador. It's going to take somebody out.
Well, anybody that can help the Flyers, I'm on board with.
Oh, man, if the Flyers can get physical, that would be great.
Ice in Ecuador might be a problem, but
I'm checking out.
There's a team in Iran.
Is there really?
Yeah, it might be Iraq or Iran, one of the Middle Eastern countries.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a hockey team. They're trying to get it going.
Are they any good?
I doubt it.
Oh, no, I don't know.
They're probably better than me.
Well, I guarantee.
Bring them over.
It's not men's league.
I don't know, Pat. You're pretty good.
I'm going over here. I'm going over some of the comments on our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody today, and I hope you're enjoying Mike's great work.
We have one viewer down in Ocean City, I know for sure.
Really?
Over her fruit and eggs. That's one, Skylar Lynch.
Fruit and eggs.
She's watching on YouTube.
Hi, Skylar. Love it. Justin asked the question earlier. He goes, JK, why don't you understand why places were shut down during the pandemic? Justin, I'm not talking about being shut down during the pandemic. I'm talking about being shut down now. I'm not talking about, I understand why something was shut down in the end of last March and April in 2020. I'm talking about now. You walk, it's a ghost town. It's a ghost town of commerce in the airport. And the gates are packed. I fly often. I fly all the time. I flew all the time during the pandemic. The gates are packed now, and they've removed the middle seat restrictions.
Yeah.
So now every seat.
So open up. What's the difference? People are in the airport regardless, breathing the same air. So
open up.
What's the difference if Dunkin' Donuts is open or not?
And Dunkin' Donuts stayed open the entire pandemic.
Oh, all right. Then Annie Ann's.
Because you know what? You can. And you could have, you just didn't, you know, they chose not to. But that's the thing. I understand why somebody had to maybe close down. Maybe they couldn't get workers, whatever it is. Now, though, it should be open. The stuff should be there and open. Now, the Phillies have a last chance to get a solid grade before we check the standings on Tuesday. They are one game under 500 trying to tread water. I have a question for you, though. So right now, they're a 500 club. And they're treading water, and they're hoping that they're going to be okay till Harper and JT get back in the lineup. Bob Cooney, do you think they can put together a run? I am going to say the run is a run of 13 out of 20. 13 and 7. That's a run. I was trying to figure out what is a run in baseball. And a run would be, you know, winning 2 out of 3 games. So I'm going to say 13 out of 20 games.
Like roughly winning 4 series in a row.
Right, kind of something thing. Like that. Can they go on a run?
Mm,
I'll say no.
Jamie?
Not until their 3, 4, and 5 hitters get back. That's for damn sure. The only reason I would say maybe or close to a yes is because I think the starting pitching you're getting is good enough to do it. It's just, will the bats come alive?
Patty?
I'll let Kramer speak for me.
Well, that's what led to Billy Mumfrey's downfall.
No.
I love the Billy Mumfrey's. Makes me laugh every time. Okay. So there are 500 club. They're treading water without Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto.
And Didi.
And Didi.
Yeah.
But we're all saying when they get them back, we don't see them being any better.
No, I see them being better.
They're a 500 club, right?
I think they're playing below 500 ball right now for the most part.
Yeah, I mean,
they split a series with the Marlins. Whoop-de-doo.
They're a game under. Yeah, they're a game under 500.
I mean, I can't say they won't be better with JT Realmuto, Didi Gregorius.
So we're going to see a run?
I think there's a chance. I can't guarantee it.
Well, no,
it
now
you're
being the chance.
Well, the starting pitching has been great.
The starting pitching has been exceptional.
So when you have that, you got a shot.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Wait a minute. You had JT and you had Harper and you had Didi and you had great starting pitching. Well, you had top four in Major League Baseball starting pitching.
Well, Bryce
as far
was
as number of innings from your starters.
He was playing hurt for 2+ weeks.
What about the season's been going on since April?
And he was doing all right for a little while.
But I'm talking about the team.
Well, yeah, but the team is nothing without the 3, 4, and 5 hitters.
But the team wasn't on a run when they were.
But it wasn't hitting season yet. Like,
oh,
the bats have to get hot. I mean, that's your only hope. Is
Jamie has a bag of answers.
Biggest paid hitters have to hit,
and they were here to hit,
and they were playing hurt.
But now we're saying no, it's hitting season right now, right?
Yeah, it's.
But we just answered that we don't think they're going on a run.
When you say run, what do you mean?
13 of 20.
That's win 4 series in a row.
13 out of 20, meaning you're winning around 65% of your games for a 20-game period. So you go on a run. You go on a like a.
I don't think it happens, but I wouldn't be shocked if they did.
Yeah, like I don't think it's likely either, but I think they have it in them.
I would be shocked if they did a 13-7. Because that's 3 weeks of sustained really good
baseball. I think 13 is a great number, though, because I'm thinking like 12. Like, well, I don't think you're far off with 13.
You're saying like 12-8.
Yeah, they were winning series before.
That's a solid 3 weeks of baseball.
Yeah, when they were completely healthy, they were winning series.
Bob,
that's winning series.
Are you cautious? So you're changing your vote then, Pat?
I thought you meant when they're going to run. I'm talking like 7 or 8 game win streak. I don't think they.
No, 12-8 is 600 ball.
Yeah,
I said 13 to make it more like 630.
Yeah, we're splitting hairs here.
No, but I mean, it's okay.
Yeah,
so you're all right. So you do think they can go on a run?
Yeah, I thought you meant like win 7 or 8 in a row.
Oh, no. I'm saying 13. I said 13 out of 20.
I was listening to a different radio show.
But it was good?
It wasn't bad, yeah.
Okay.
They're trying this new thing. Callers.
Are they poll questions?
Yeah, they got. Okay, so you listened to it too.
Poll question?
Yeah. They're doing a Mount Rushmore topic.
What was the hot take?
That the Shore isn't very good.
The Shore is overrated.
Yeah.
Which is good.
It is expensive.
Jamie does make a good point. I mean, the starting pitching has been good. And
it's been more than good.
Better than we all expected, I think, as a whole.
Yeah, and yesterday you throw out a lineup that starts with Roman Quinn and finishes with a catcher named Marshawn. I mean, this is like...
My favorite?
My favorite Marshawn. So this is what they're going with. So to Jamie's point, you're going to get 3 big bats back, and you're going to get people in their proper spots, and maybe 4 if you count McCutcheon, if he can get...
So there got to be a run.
It's in them, whether or not they do it or not.
Wait a minute.
Well, they have the possibility. Like,
well, anybody.
Well, look, if you look back to last year, though, they had some of the best offensive numbers in baseball.
I'm tapping out of this. Are they going on a run or not?
Nobody can answer that officially.
Answer the question,
you
coward.
Do you believe they're going on a run? Yeah, you said no a few minutes ago. Now do you say yes?
I'll talk myself into a yes, sure.
I'll talk myself into it. That's never happened before for Jamie.
I know Billy Mumfrey.
But they can do it.
I knew Billy would do that.
Billy Mumfrey was a cockeyed optimist.
If Vince Velasquez keeps this up for another, month, holy hell, you're cooking with
gas.
He's
been fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm more impressed with what Eflin's done.
They've both been very impressive.
Oh, they've both been really great, but
yeah.
Zach Eflin to me.
Aaron Nola's the only one not being
I want to get, no, but I, that's why I always toss it back to Pat, because if I'm going to bust him on Aaron Nola, then I'm going to give him the credit that he saw something in Zach Eflin that I believe I've been seeing this year.
Yeah,
if he continues it, I'm impressed. He still isn't at the ERA number that we bet on, but yeah, it's close. He's very close.
My surprise was your guy, though. It was Zach Wheeler, because he's never been good. And he actually talked about this on the broadcast yesterday. Right. He's always struggled in the first half of baseball for whatever reason. He looks like the ace that you proclaimed him to be, and I could not be more happy to be wrong about that.
His numbers in July and August throughout his career are phenomenal.
Wait, the lights out.
Well, also,
like to the tune of 25-9.
When he's hot, when it's hot weather, he is the hotter it is, the better for Wheeler.
Sign got to say hot.
So 90 degrees, 95 degrees. He loves the heat.
They call him Krispy Kreme because the sign has to say hot.
Do we have one near us, by the way?
You have one in Havertown. You have one in the Manoah Shopping Center.
Oh, in the Manoah Shopping Center, where I did not know there was a back parking lot.
Yeah, well, you know.
And I grew up 2 miles from there, and I never knew there was an entire back parking lot to that place. I'm pretty dumb sometimes.
A drop, please.
I park at the same spot.
We're not going to argue that.
Don't argue it.
Yeah, we're not going to.
Oh, we weren't. Don't worry. Who could go to a shopping center their whole lives? And I didn't go there often, but not know that there was a back. You said it to me, Pat. You were like, well, why don't you park in the back?
Yeah.
And I was like, that parking lot's terrible. There's no spots and it's all crap. Well, then park in the back. And I'm like, there is no back.
I had some good times in the back of that parking lot. Me, Johnny Hopkins, Sloan Kettering. We were blazing that you know what up.
Sloan Kettering? You were at Sloan Kettering?
Yeah.
Really?
Good times, man.
Wow.
My youth.
In the Manoah Shopping Center. You didn't go down to Manoah Lanes?
No. Just, you know, because I was on my break from Club Fresh, Super Fresh, which is now an Acme.
Club Fresh.
You had to be one to enter and 18 to buy tobacco.
Now they have the place there, the Minute Clinic or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They're right there, too, so they can take care of you. Hey, it's Mattress Firm's best Memorial Day sale ever. For a limited time, you can save up to $500 on top-rated mattress brands like Sealy and Sleepy's.
Wait, you didn't answer. Did you?
As far as when can they go on a run?
Yeah.
I do not believe they can go on a run.
Okay.
I believe they can play, like Pat was saying, because I said 13. I don't believe they have sustained 3 weeks of excellence in them.
And the key here is, if they do go on said 13-7 run, say it puts you in a spot where you're in first by 2 games, okay?
Can you keep it?
See, to me, no matter who's in the lineup, like Jamie was talking about, the pitching, to me, this is just a 500 team, and 500 entails, to me, injuries to the offense, good pitching. Then it's good hitting and injuries to the pitching, or not good pitching. They're just mired in mediocrity, in my opinion, and I don't see them busting out of it anytime soon.
Even if they were to go 13-7 over a stretch,
really good stretch.
But then they could turn around and go 7-13, like
sure.
So I think they have both in them. We'll see.
I don't think they have 13-7 in them. That's 3 weeks of really good baseball.
I don't think we've even seen what could be the best of this Phillies offense yet. I think it's been a pretty terrible offense so far. So I think it has to get better at some point.
Well, and the pitching has to settle down at some
probably
point.
Probably, yeah. And then it's when do they coincide with each other, the trade-off.
If.
It determines if you go on a run or a losing streak.
That's the 500 record
and
right
that's
there.
Just 3 weeks of X, I don't see this team being able to play well for 3 weeks.
Well, who are they? Depends on the opponents.
Yeah.
Have you looked at their schedule?
At Cincinnati, they have coming up after this series, that's I know. Beautiful. And then I know they're home for a little bit.
But Bryce won't even be back till June 4th, so I'm not even like hoping it starts until
June 4th is what, Thursday?
Friday
next week?
Yeah.
So next Friday.
And then I would assume JT's back by then, and Didi should be getting close.
So we're looking at Cincinnati, Washington, Atlanta, and then the Yankees.
It's not going to start then. Maybe after the Yankees.
So maybe
Washington, Atlanta, and the Yankees are all home.
Yeah, and the Yankees are bad.
Going on a West Coast trip.
You're
going
to need that winning streak to come with the majority of games at home.
Honestly, it really determines who you're facing in the Washington series, and then who's pitching for you in the Atlanta series. Because Atlanta's offense is great, but their pitching is terrible.
Well, right now, Pat, sorry, you would get Scherzer and Strasburg 2 out of 3.
Okay, well, we had a good run, guys.
Strasburg's 2. And only right now, the only teams with a run differential in the positive are Atlanta and Miami. And the only reason Atlanta is so positive at +9 is because they had that 20-0 game or 20-1 game that sort of wiped that number out. I'm not sure that I believe in run differential. And I know a lot of the Sabercats love it?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of tells you how good your offense is, but I don't know if it determines your wins and losses. Yeah.
They went from being negative, I think they were negative six, and in one night they went like plus 13.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I was like, wow, well, they're plus 13 now.
Yeah. So but like Strasburg's just coming off the IL. He's not having a great year so far. So
just to show you.
Who knows?
San Diego plus 79. Dodgers plus 77. And your third place, which is still really impressive, San Francisco Giants plus 55. The next closest team.
I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Makes sense.
The next closest team, the Cubs plus 22.
Wow.
Then plus 15. Then plus 9, which is Atlanta. And then plus 7, which is St. Louis. Everyone else negative.
Wow.
Phillies minus 17.
Yeah.
I would have guessed
and
worse.
But they're only one game under.
Yeah. That's one of those weird stats.
Like the Braves are 9, have a positive 9 run differential, and they're one game under 500. Phillies are 17 runs under, and they're one game over 500, under 500. So a lot of change there. We don't have much time left. We hope that you will hang out with us. What does Memorial Day weekend mean to you, not only as a sports fan, but just sort of your traditions? We're going to get some of those coming up, too. It's the John Kincaid Show, and you are here on The Fanatic. I've got to tell you that with basketball playoffs going on right now, you want to get involved on the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. The Atlanta Hawks tonight, a 4-point favorite over the Knicks. Brooklyn, a 7.5-point favorite on the road at Boston. I think that might be a tasty number. But if you want to manipulate that point spread and even build it up more for the Celtics, you can do that on the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. By the way, Clippers, a 2-point favorite at Dallas after losing the first two games at home. And for game three, Sixers, 5.5-point favorites for game three at Washington. Get the risk-free bet on the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. Download it today. ParxCasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Fanatic. You can get a risk-free bet up to $500. Get that app. You're going to love it. You don't even have to bet teams to win. Player performances and in-game wagering are fantastic. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. Should you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thank you so much for hanging out with the John Kincaid Show. We do appreciate you so much. We consider you part of our radio family. And for the first time, we will be not on the air on Monday. D. Lynam will be in Monday from 8 to noon on a holiday schedule. So we appreciate it. But the John Kincaid Show returns on Tuesday. And we hope that you will hang out with D. And get ready for game 4 of that series.
Yeah, we'll be reacting on Tuesday to a win, I'm sure.
You're saying a sweep.
Yeah,
Bob says a sweep. Pat says a sweep.
I saw Russell Westbrook basically give up.
I'm not trying to be wet blanket, but I just have a weird feeling we're going to be talking about game 5.
Why are you the way you are?
I just have a feeling that's what it's going to be.
Bradley Beal could go off.
Exactly.
You know.
And
not on Ben Simmons.
Okay.
Well, he doesn't guard him the whole game.
If he needs to guard him, I'll guard him.
Let's hope that
you guys are so adorable.
That's the case.
I think it's sweet.
Milwaukee is 13 wins away from a title. We're 14, so let's see if we can take care of that business.
Milwaukee is 5 wins away from losing to the Sixers in the Eastern Conference.
Oh!
Wow, I see what you did there.
I like that.
Good math by you.
Okay. So you have them beating the Nets.
No, I just felt like you to stop saying that they are 13 wins away from winning.
Well, they are. They're just that little edge. It gives you the nudge there. What does Memorial Day weekend mean to you in your head? Like, what does it mean to you? By the way, just a little memory. It is in memory of those who died in service to their country, protecting our flag. Because awesome. I see confusion with people on this one. They're very confused by what Memorial Day is and what Veterans Day is. So they get confused. This is the day we honor the dead. So this is where we're honoring dead people on Monday that gave the ultimate sacrifice. So much braver than I could ever, I don't think I could ever imagine being.
No.
I can't imagine my dad going to graduation from high school at Lower Merion and going in the Second World War 2 days later.
Yeah, my dad got lucky with his lottery number.
He did. The lottery came down to pop.
And he missed it, luckily, but my grandfather was a serviceman, and it means that he was in the Bataan Death March. So it means a lot to us. But to me, you know, outside of recognizing them, and I do try to...
Sure.
You know, give them their reverence that's owed over the weekend. It means the start of summer.
It is. It always they always say the unofficial start of summer.
Yeah,
I don't even think it's
to me. It's official.
To me, it's official.
Yeah,
Memorial Day, you begin that. You're in that mode of, and I always find it. Everybody is pretty. I think everybody's pretty happy when you get around to Memorial Day. It's a happy time. This is a
beginning of summer.
Yes, there is, and more time to yourself, more sunshine, more daylight.
Means my wife's going to be in summer and my life gets a little better. So selfishly,
school teachers
get off pretty soon.
She's done with that. I mean, what is it, Bob, for you personally? Like, what did it mean as a youngster?
School was almost done, which I couldn't wait for because I just adored the summer. I did. I loved playing in summer league games. I loved going, when I was younger, going to basketball camps in the summer. All of that stuff. And now... You know, it was the start of swim season for my kids for so many years. This would be the first year in about 15, 20 that we haven't had a swim team member.
So they would swim at a community pool?
Yeah, we belonged to a pool and they were on the team and I was the announcer and, you know, very involved and all that stuff. So went through that. Now the kids are grown. And now it's just the start of summer and we're in a new house and putting in a pool and stuff like that. I love Memorial Day. I love the beginning of summer. It means more traffic on Fridays.
Yeah, for me, it means sitting around with my family at the shore house, good weather or bad weather, either on the beach or on the porch, and just all being together and having some drinks and laughs. And it's great memories.
I love the idea of sitting out on a porch.
Ah, we got a great porch.
I can't.
At my cousin's house. It's awesome.
Something about fresh air and a cocktail.
Yeah.
And just people just being... relaxed and you have nowhere to be.
And we're close to the beach, so we get the people watch everybody going, coming and going from the beach.
That.
I love it. A little speaker going, cards.
You got the breeze going. Constantly.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you have wind chimes, though.
No.
Okay.
At my home here, I do. Would that bother you as a neighbor? I find them soothing.
I once...
Wait, what did you find? Wind chimes. We have wind chimes at my house.
I once may have...
Destroyed some property?
Grab someone's wind chimes. Someone left wind chimes up all year long. And our neighbors left them up all year long. And they would blow in the wind in October.
Yeah, the winter's got to go in the garage or something.
And so it came to a point where I had the opportunity and I said, you know what? Those are going. Those are going. And they never got replaced.
I'm on the fence with the wind chimes. I do find at times soothing.
Yeah.
I do find at times annoying.
In the middle of the night, though?
You can't pick and choose.
Yeah, in the middle of the night when it's like...
See, nothing keeps me up at night. When it's time for me to sleep, I sleep. Like nothing, honest to God.
So you don't feel anything?
Nothing. And I'm not saying I'm a sound sleeper, but when it's time for me to sleep, I go to sleep.
These wind chimes were... it was really close. Like the side deck.
Yeah. Mine's more like a wind bell. It's not like multiples. So it's not, you know, when it's like there's eight chimes hanging.
Oh, no, this is one of those.
This is more of a bell with one thing in the middle.
This looked like some sort of a mobile.
Yeah.
Like with steel, probably six.
Those can get annoying.
Six of them.
Because a light breeze.
Ting, tong, ting, ting, tong, ting,
I used to actually own a pair of wind chimes.
Did you?
Loved them. And
did
they
your
went
neighbors
missing.
Love-
they went
no.
missing. We're pretty sure we know the a-hole who took them.
I know you didn't live next to me.
They had about, there was like six of them, and they sound ding dong, ding
that
dong.
That was the same neighbor?
And
were
gone.
You the same neighbor then that I had to take the...
And I vowed never to put up another pair of wind chimes until those were replaced.
What I had to was, we had neighbors who didn't take care of their yard well enough.
Oh.
So their weeds were against their fence. They wouldn't weed whack along their fence.
Ugh.
So it would come through into our yard. So it took me then getting the spray gun with the Roundup and just dousing along the fence line. What I didn't realize is how much you should use. Because they're...
Or how little you should use.
Yes.
Did they call Natural Lawn of America greener grass?
Well, they should have. No, but this was a different state. They ended up with a big yellowish-brown strip.
The best part about Natural Lawn of America,
it's in
America.
They would not clean their lawn.
Well, if they needed help, you know, with some money replenishing their grass, they could have gone to PropSwap. It's America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. You make some profit there, you fix your yard, you know? Or maybe get some wind chimes.
Is that a violation?
A violation to kill your neighbor's yard?
Your neighbor's,
yeah.
No, your neighbor's...
You went on their yard?
No. Never went through.
Oh, okay.
No, it's post and rail fence with the chicken wire. Post and rail with the chicken wire.
Yeah, it's wrong.
Is it really?
Yeah.
They won't take care of their yard and it's coming into your yard.
Oh, the weeds. I thought we were back on the wind chimes.
No, the weeds committed. No, the wind chimes was absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't defend the wind chimes.
Was actually sort of criminal.
Yeah.
It was
a little bit.
That was basically criminal. And in the day of, now you have the.
The nests and the homes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you ain't doing it now.
No, you're not doing it now unless you dress up like a ninja.
Yeah. No, the weeds thing, I think you're in the right.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. But it was very, very funny. It's like, what happened here? You could hear him out in the yard when he's like, what happened out here?
No, we have audio of his reaction to when he found out that Kincaid killed his lawn.
It was a divorced woman that moved into the house, and she was a realtor. And she bought the, she moved into the house because she got a good deal on it from the couple that was moving out and everything. And then she just refused to do the yard work.
What's up with that?
She's just lazy, I guess.
Nobody likes that neighbor.
Hey, Chris in Yardley joins us on the Fanatic. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we today?
We're doing up, well, Chris? Buddy. What are you doing?
I'm just getting excited and ready for tomorrow night.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I feel like a kid race or something. Like, when my teams are in the playoffs, it sparks off a whole different smile. Even when I'm pissed off, I'm still happy.
I love this.
And people that can't find joy in the moment, because that's what life's about, right? There's no guarantee we're going to wake up tomorrow. So, if I do, I'm going to enjoy the hell out of that game tomorrow, because I don't know if I'll get to see another one. And I want to see my Sixers do well, because I am a homer. I am one of those guys. That's just who I am. I think all of us should be.
Chris, you are just a breath of fresh air.
Hey, you brought a couple of guys in that studio that would disagree that I'm not always a breath of fresh air, John.
Well, you say it feels fresh. It really does feel fresh. So what was it? Did you have a story in the wind chimes too?
Yeah, I was an esteemed student in the Canary Islands. I was 17 years old.
Canary Islands.
Yes, Las Palmas de Gran Canaria. I was on the ninth floor of an apartment complex. I lived with a Spanish general who was a real a-hole, and my host mother, she was the B-word. I did not like them, and they, because it's the Canary Islands, there's always gulls, always seagulls, always flying around. And I lost it one night because of, between the sounds of that wind chime that my host mother had right outside, because there was a little balcony, right outside my room, and all I heard all night long, and then all these birds started coming. So there I was at 3 o'clock in the morning, throwing a wind chime at birds, and I do have to admit that I nailed one of the birds. It did die, and the next day I learned a lot of Spanish words for a dead bird. How did this happen? And it was all my fault. So the reality is, I used a wind chime to kill a seagull, and I don't feel bad about it.
There we go. Good job. You were fresh air until you started killing birds.
Well, no, hey, man, that was years ago.
That's good. I'm glad to see it.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Thank you, Chris. Take care of yourself. I love that energy. There is a great energy in a playoff series. It's knowing we've got an appointment on Saturday, got an appointment on Monday.
Yeah.
There's something to it.
Well, I'm basing my weekend around it.
Right. It creates an energy and an excitement.
It does.
And a community.
It's an event like Eagles games.
Correct.
It really is, and you have it 3-4 times a week as opposed to just the once a week with the Eagles. It's an event. It's not just another game. Playoffs are an event, and they're 14 wins away.
Yeah, like being down the shore this weekend, you're going to see Sixers gear everywhere.
And shorts. Sixers shorts.
Yes, Bob. Some people wear shorts down the shore.
No, Sixers shorts, I said.
Oh.
You're going to do that, too.
Wow. Really hung up on this.
And starting out on Tuesday, we will open up the inaugural American Association for Cancer Research John Kincaid Show Mentorship and Experience Auction. What so many of our peers here at the station have done, what members of the community have done, have come together and offering mentorship and experiences that you can't pretty much get anywhere else. Guys like Ricky Pitalico running a practice for your baseball team or guest coaching for a game. Anthony Gargano being a private chef in your home, cooking an Italian feast for you. How about a mandate with Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch where you're doing a private VIP brewery tour?
Mm.
And Egan will drive. Egan will drive and make sure everybody is safe.
Attaboy. Thank you.
So you can really have a great time with that. we're going to, how about a night with the John Kincaid Show next year at a Sixers game in a private box?
Hell yeah.
Flyers game. Private box experience. With the John Kincaid Show crew. We'll have a great time. Do you want your son or daughter? Now, though, I probably get around 20 emails a month from someone saying, yeah, I'd like an internship with the show. And I'm like, look, a lot of people want to intern. Your son or daughter, if they are a high school graduate, if they want to be in broadcasting, want to get into this, they can be an intern with our show for a week. And let's just say it's not going to be an easy experience to get through coach to try to be an intern with our show. So starting next week, you'll be able to go to 975thefanatic.com, check out all the experiences. They will have new experiences premiering all the time and then expiring in a few days. And all the proceeds are going to go to the American Association for Cancer Research because cancer research saves lives. It'll be a fun time coming.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to raising a lot of money to combat something awful. So
Tyrone is Tyrone's taking you and your friends to Topgolf.
Mm-hmm. I love Topgolf.
It's
going to
be a lot of fun. Mike Missinelli taking you and three of your buddies golfing into lunch.
It's awesome.
I mean, it's great. And I appreciate everybody at the station for getting behind it, too. This is awesome because this is the first time we're doing this. And it's going to be, and I'm sure we're going to have more exciting things come up throughout the course of the years. It'll grow. It'll get bigger and bigger.
And we'll get to a second annual.
Yes, we will.
Not the inaugural.
We will absolutely do that. This is the inaugural.
Yes.
So, my nephew Billy just said the poolside deck is now open in Broomall at his house.
Oh.
I'm heading to Atlanta for the weekend.
Ah.
But cousin Billy, nephew Billy.
It's a great pool weekend if the weather cooperates. The grill and the pool, that's living.
Oh, it is good.
Mm.
He's got bulldogs, too.
Does he?
They got bulldogs.
They slobber monsters?
Like big bulldogs.
Yeah.
Like giant bulldogs. I love bulldogs. Mm. I love dogs.
So yeah, let the big dog hunt.
So I'm still meeting some of my neighbors, the ones across the street I know, but they came over yesterday, one of their children, with their new dog. It's a five-week-old black lab.
Oh,
my gosh.
Adorable.
Now, Molly, Michael F. says here, he goes, I'd love to pay for the experience to see Pitalico fight Kincaid. Michael F., that would not be a...
Ricky would wreck you.
That would be a rest in peace. Why don't you just say, I would like to see Kincaid's funeral hosted by Ricky Pitalico at that point. The young man said the other day, he said he's a grown man now, but he thinks Ricky Pitalico, he grew up thinking Ricky Pitalico was Batman.
That was hilarious. That was funny. I tried to find that post.
I was Google searching for it like crazy.
The guy said that Ricky Pitalico to him was Batman as a young man. That would
it's pretty funny.
I'm sorry. Michael F. I enjoy living. I absolutely enjoy life way too much for something like that. And by the way, just keep your ear to the ground. I'm hearing about something fun coming up later on this year that I've heard so much about since I joined the Fanatic.
Some
great event.
Yeah.
I'm hearing rumors.
Yeah.
Are you teasing something, John?
Yes.
Oh. Is it by any chance the hiring that they're doing in the Delanco, New Jersey area at Carvana?
That could be.
Is that what it is? Because I'll tell you right now, if you're an auto mechanic, auto body pro, maybe you're just looking for a change of scenery, it's a great place to work. You just got to head to joincarvana.com and apply today.
This makes me laugh. JMC goes on our YouTube channel. JMC says, Kincaid has no shot against Ricky Bo.
Seriously?
Oh, their odds are coming out now, on FanDuel Sportsbook.
He just said,
minus 200,000, Ricky Vitalico favorite.
BetMGM just did an odds boost for it.
Swing me like a club. Oh, my gosh. Yes, oh, there are people that are all excited. Double F. Yes, double F. So we're hearing. We're hearing some rumors about this. So what do you do down at the shore?
So a normal
what
day
is a day at the shore?
A
what
day
is
a at the normal shore day? Is on the beach by 11, 12-ish with the kids, the family, and everything. Hang out, take a lot of walks, throw balls around, all that kind of stuff. Go back and then, you know, have a beer while you're cleaning up and maybe a glass of wine, make a nice dinner.
Strange was is that you have the same, you have one of the same routines that I do, and I would never expect that you and I would have the same routine at the beach. The walk along the beach later on in the day, it's like I feel like an animal in a zoo in here with Anthony. The walk along the beach, long walk right along the shoreline.
How's that feel?
Oh, I love it.
No, Anthony would be a great masseuse.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got some freakish hands.
Gigantic freak hands. It's like the Seinfeld episode with the man hands. Those are man hands. Those are absolutely
good. What's up?
Oh, man. We're talking about the day at the beach.
Love it.
Bob and I.
The tram car.
Isn't that great?
There it is.
Watch
who likes the tram car?
I love the tram car.
I think what
screw
we
the tram
I think
car.
We need to have
you. Sound like just the fact that it exists.
I think Anthony.
I wouldn't use it. But.
Anthony should be the voice on the tram car.
All right. That'd be awesome, right?
Anthony did.
Get the bleep out of the way. Watch the tram car, you stupid idiot. Wake up. Watch the tram car.
Get out of the way.
Get the bleep up.
Get out of the way.
Move it or I'll run your ass over.
Oh, my gosh.
That was
huge.
Nice Sixers huge.
That's huge.
That's awesome, man. Nothing like Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
It's great, isn't it?
It's about time.
Yeah.
It's about time.
We're out of this damn stupid pandemic that we hate.
Mask mandate lifted in New Jersey.
Yeah, good. Thank God.
Now we have to wait till June 28th. We have to wait till June 28th in Pennsylvania.
Because
right over the border, it's that line.
I know.
That bridge?
Yeah.
The COVID's just bouncing off of the bridge. It just won't go out.
It's stupid.
In New Jersey.
Listen, girl.
It's like a zombie. It can't go through water. Just,
how about this? You want the happiest news today?
Yes.
Wall Street Journal this morning, 72% of Americans have had at least one shot. Over 51% of Americans are fully vaccinated. So we're heading to the point. Within 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have the 70% number, and then everybody can get back to their lives.
Yes, that's fantastic. Is, that is great.
That's
news.
One of the most beautiful things
it
about
is.
This weekend.
It really is, you know, coming out of the other side of that thing.
I made the prediction that I think there's going to be a split in Washington.
Really?
Yeah, they play terribly in Washington.
I think it's sweet.
They all do too.
Yeah, I heard.
Not even a.
No, I don't even think it's close. I think it's just matchups. I don't see it.
Okay, that's good news then, because Milwaukee looked great last night.
Yeah, I also think that the Heat are somewhat of a bubble fraud from last year. I think. Listen, I do think Milwaukee is legit. Like we were talking, Bob and I have been talking about this. I think Johnny. I think Milwaukee's got a real good shot of beating Brooklyn. I think that's real.
Bob's been thinking it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from Brooklyn, and after watching them.
You just said best team.
I think they're a lot better, this whole nonsense of you know, having to play together.
Yeah.
But as far as a team, Milwaukee's probably the best in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, I think they're good.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch.
I think the Sixers, man, I think we actually underrate the Sixers.
Because we probably do out of cautiousness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Out of being cautious.
Yes.
Because you don't
exactly
want to be.
Right,
you don't want to be. Because Philadelphia, the
right.
DNA of Philadelphia is we don't want to be
disappointed. It's the thing. It's the whole thing.
It's Wile E. Coyote.
Yes. Yes.
So it's that.
This team is really good. Look at the role players. With Maxey taking Shake's minutes. I love that.
All right. Now the times that I've been flying in and out of the airport, the most common question that I do get from somebody when they check my ID or something is, I listen to Cuz. You have a lot of listeners at the airport.
So I'll be flying in out today. I used to work down there.
One TSA guy, who always sees me now knows me.
I love my airport
gate. So you have some Anthony big at the airport. Very big at the airport.
PHL, baby.
Everybody. All right, have a great holiday weekend.
You guys enjoy, man. God bless you.
It's going to be back. We'll see you Tuesday. We will be back on Tuesday. And our entire team loves you. And we hope everybody has a nice, relaxing, restful weekend. And we're ready to party the Sixers into the next round. Jamie is just getting worked over. Have a great weekend, everybody. We love you, and we'll see you on Tuesday here on the John Kincaid Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.